Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bob Kerr at the White House. President Bush is paying a visit to John Edwards' home state, North Carolina. Mr. Bush won it in 2000, says he's going to win it again this year.
Because the people understand that that they share, we share values, that they understand, they know me well. And I believe that I did well in the South last time. I'm going to do well in the South this time.
Senator Edwards joined Senator John Kerry on the campaign trail today. Iraq's prime minister is making plans to impose martial law in some parts of his country. He says the Iraqi people deserve peace and won't have it until the rebels are crushed. South Korea's newspaper is reporting that communist North Korea is deploying missiles that have enough range to hit Hawaii and Guam. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice is in Asia meeting with America's allies to talk about North Korea's weapons program. Bob Kerr, NBC News Radio.
The ATM. Insert your card, enter your PIN number, get 420s and a handful of streptococci. Don't let germs interrupt your ATMing. Use Purell Instant Hand Sanitizer and kill 99.9% of most common germs that may make you sick. The CDC says eliminating germs on hands helps stop the spread of infection. So use the ATM, but use Purell because you may withdraw a fistful of cold, hard E. coli. Purell, powerful protection against germs.
Hey guys, don't let the weather get the best of you. Fight back and protect the value of your home with Duration Exterior Coating from your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Unlike other exterior paints, Duration protects in one coat, and it's guaranteed for as long as you own your home. And now, buy 4 or more gallons of Duration Exterior Coating and get 50% off your choice of any Werner ladder. And make the job easier with our new line of paint sprayers and pressure washers, too. Ask how. Ask now. Ask Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 87 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The suspect in the Mount Evans assault has been shot in Texas. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The accident eastbound C-47 east of Quebec is out of the way now. Traffic there just about back to normal. That pretty much describes the freeway system in general this afternoon. Usual construction slowing southbound I-225 from Parker Road on down toward the I-25 split. Nothing too unusual about that. Fire equipment on the scene of a grass fire at Highway 6 in Ulysses Street. It's actually just a little bit north of this intersection in a park. Two fire departments on the scene there. Fire is under control. We'll watch for a lot of emergency equipment in there and also some reduced visibility because of the smoke. Liberty Bell Telecom has the information. Break free from Quest with your new choice in local phone service. Liberty Bell Telecom. Better service, cheaper rates, keep your current numbers. LibertyBellTelecom.com. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The man who's a suspect in a robbery and assault in Clear Creek County last month has been shot by a deputy in Texas. 41-year-old John Edward Morris is hospitalized in critical condition and is wanted for the assault and robbery near Echo Lake Lodge. Clear Creek County Detective Mark Douglas says his jurisdiction and Texas authorities must decide which will bring Morris to justice.
My feeling on it is because of the nature of their case, their case will probably go first, and then when they're complete, we'll do extradition.
The woman who was attacked had been riding her bicycle in the area when she was tied up and assaulted. Authorities say she wasn't badly injured. A deputy in Comal County, Texas, was dispatched to a call of a suspicious man at a storage facility near San Antonio. The deputy asked the man, now confirmed as Morris, for some ID, and Morris went back to his pickup and pulled out a shotgun. He was shot when he wouldn't put down the gun. This report brought to you by Einstein Brothers. Authorities are looking for a woman who may have been running a puppy mill operation in Larimer County. The county Humane Society found 84 abandoned Labrador retrievers at a home near Berthoud. 30 of the dogs survived and are being nursed back to health. The remaining 54 labs had to be euthanized. The job picture in the metro area is improving, with the May unemployment in Metro Denver down 4.7% compared to last year's 6%. In sports, the Rockies continue to roll as they try to extend their 5-game winning streak tonight against the Giants in San Francisco. Joe Kennedy climbs the hill for the Rocks, who beat the Giants 8-6 last night. With new lunches dishes like their Jamaican jerk chicken salad with low-fat mango ginger vinaigrette. Einstein Brothers is the next best thing to living in a gourmet restaurant. Lunch today, stop by Einstein Brothers. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
When you need to know
information,
you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
Imagine this. You're busy at work. You randomly run into someone at the printer, and they give you a 100% raise. Hard to imagine, huh? So why do we expect it when it comes to dating? We go to the same old places and wonder why our soulmate doesn't walk in and ask us out. Maybe that's the problem. The approach is wrong. Cottonwood Connection, helping singles connect, can help you with making meaningful connections with Denver singles. Sign up today by calling 303-424-2300 and receive $100 off your membership. Plus, you'll be entered in a drawing August 28th for a $500 romantic getaway package for you and a date to the Lodge and Spa at Breckenridge. Also, as a valued KNRC listener, the Lodge and Spa at Breckenridge offers a preferred summer lodging special. Call 800-736-1607. Mention the KNRC Summer Special and receive weekend rates starting from $85, not including taxes and fees. Restrictions apply. So call Cottonwood Connection now at 303-424-2300.
Luca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sun, a few clouds, and a high of 89. Later on tonight, mostly cloudy. Isolated storms turning partly cloudy during the overnight hours, though, down to 60. Sunshine takes over tomorrow, high of 90. Just a few clouds to start the day Friday, but then turning mostly cloudy with a chance of afternoon storms and 84. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny and 87 now. KNRC News Time is 12:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
7 minutes after 12 here at AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid is still out of town. She shall return on Monday. T.R. Reed will be joining you on Friday. You've still got me tomorrow. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Phone number is 303-382-1150. I hope you've been having a good day so far. It's halfway through the week, kind of a shortened week since we didn't have to go to work on Monday. So that weekend is creeping up nice and quickly. So it's kind of nice today, sitting here in with you, in for Enid Goldstein. And there are a couple of things that I had seen run across the radar screen in the last 24, 48 hours. I'm getting this pile of information. And if you've ever done talk radio, seen talk radio hosts, even watched them, ever had the opportunity to look in the studio or even, get on the TV and watch something like IMS or things like that, you'll notice that a lot of hosts carry piles and piles of paper into the show, and normally that's because they're leftover information from stuff they haven't gotten to. And my pile keeps getting bigger because I didn't get to some crap yesterday, and so now I've got more crap. So we've got a lot of crap to get through today. Now, one of the stories that really kind of floated to the top of when I was looking at what you and I might be able to discuss today was I kept coming back to the story about the baby being abandoned here in Colorado, the one, I'm sure you've heard at least a passing bit of the story, where basically a 29-year-old woman who has a 6-year-old goes to a bar with friends and the 6-year-old waiting for dad to come and pick him up, and then she disappears to talk to the boy's father, and then she doesn't come back for 60 to 90 minutes and seems to be in a little bit of pain, has something wrapped around her stomach, a little bit of blood on her shirt, says she's passed the kidney stone, they drop off the kid, they go home for a bit, they go back out to the bar. And rather than discussing that specific issue, the thing that I keep looking at is the abandoned baby law, because I remember in the city when that was being debated, the idea that basically there was this huge cry that the only reason these babies are being thrown in the trash is because they had nowhere to take them. Because if we would just give the people an opportunity to drop their babies off at fire stations or hospitals and not get prosecuted, they would do that. And I said it then, and I'll repeat it today, that idea is full of crap. it basically ignores the logical reality. It ignores the idea that this is an individual who has made the decision to drop their child into a trash bin. At that point, rational thought is no longer in the equation. So the idea that they are then going to choose and go ahead and say, well, what am I weighing I can do with the baby? As soon as they've gone to the point of not adopting it, they're just going to dump it somewhere and probably a trash can. They're not going to want to leave a trail, and these are individuals that many times are not going to be holding rational thought. So assuming they're going to weigh this idea, research it, and find out where they can drop their baby off is stupid. No, they're not going to do that. They're making a decision to leave their baby in a trash can. They're not doing the due diligence to find out, wow, what is the best time of the day to leave the baby in the trash can? How can I wrap them in the trash can? What do they need in the trash can? That's not what they're doing. They're looking at getting rid of this kid. They're not going to see where they can drop it off, where the nearest fire station is, where the nearest hospital is, or even figure out if there is a law or what they can do as far as dropping off the kid. That's just not part of the equation. When in their thought process do you think they're debating that? They're not. They're simply looking at it and saying, I need to get rid of this kid. How can I do it? Dumping it in the trash. Again, this is an individual who, when they want to get rid of their baby, their best option is to dump it in the trash. I'm sorry, these aren't Mensa members to begin with. They're not necessarily thinking this through. So assuming this abandoned baby law was going to stop anything in the state of Colorado was wrong. Was wrong then and is wrong now. And it's unfortunate that we went through the mental exercise of going ahead and having to go through that law. I'm not saying that the law is an absolutely horrible law. I'm just saying that we spent a lot of time doing something that didn't really work. And wasn't going to. There are a number of different laws around the country that are exactly the same. And the statistical percentages of the number of babies that actually get dropped off in the safe places don't exist. It's so small out of the number of babies that are abandoned that it was a silly law. It was a silly law then, and it's a silly law now. It's unfortunate. It would be nice to have it be a better law. But it doesn't work. It doesn't get the necessary goal accomplished. These young mothers are not deciding to then turn around and research the law and figure out where they can drop off their child. And if they're not doing that, the law's ineffective. That's ineffective then, it was ineffective now. But what do you think? 303-382-1150, we can talk about that. I was chatting with Jordan, who's running the board today, and Joe Anderson's producing. And Jordan and I were talking, and he brought up the case a couple of months ago where he saw the husband and wife that had a bunch of caged kids, and they basically came out, they got like 9 months in jail for that. That's just kind of shocking that we look at what we're doing in this country with children. And, I mean, they kept these kids locked up over like a 13-year period. And the parents are going to spend less than 9 months in jail for keeping their kids like animals. I don't know. It just kind of worries me how that we're looking at taking care of kids and where kids are going, and everybody always talks about, oh, what about the children? What about the children? And I think many times we pay a lot of lip service to that. I'm not so certain we're genuine in our concern, because if it was always, oh, what about the children, there would be a lot of other changes we would see inside of our society. But it's not. It's not always about the children. But it's a fun argument when you get to use it, but I think it's disingenuous many times when it's traipsed out. But this abandoned baby law, it's unfortunate. We had such a debate, and everybody got all wrapped up in this city. And unfortunately, it's vastly ineffective. We're having very few babies dropped off safely, and we're still getting them dropped off in dumpsters and other places, and they're dying. It's, again, you just can't look at it and think that the mother who has made the decision or thought, wow, when I'm going to get rid of this child, rather than going through an adoption procedure, I'm going to abandon them. At that point, you're assuming they're then going to research whether or not they have a law and where they can dump it off, and it simply is not going to happen. 303-382-1150. What do you think? I'm going to talk to Marie in Denver and see what's on her mind. Marie, how are you today? Yeah, Marie?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. What do you want to say about the abandoned baby law?
Well, first of all, I support the law.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a very good law. What the problem is that the problem is twofold. The first is it is not publicized, and there are political reasons for that. People don't want to publicize it because they're afraid too many women will take advantage of it. At least that's one of the excuses I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a notice in every woman's restroom in the city, and there should be the address of the nearest fire station. I know where my fire station is, but I don't, if I were new in town or if I were in Cherry Creek, I wouldn't know where it was. That's the first thing. It's just not publicized. And it, there should be announcements on the air. The procedure should be spelled out. And that ought to be done, and it simply is not, and it's not done for political reasons.
Well, see, now I look at it, and I keep thinking now, if it was publicized, you know, one...
No, it wasn't.
Well, no, I'm saying if. So I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying if it's publicized, where would we publicize it, and how? I understand the idea of putting notices in restrooms,
right.
But then we assume that everybody reads the signs that are in restrooms. And I've been in restrooms. I know people aren't even reading that better wash your hands before you go back to work sign.
Well,
because I've seen that, so I know people aren't reading all the stuff in the restrooms.
Well, the thing is that you educate women. Women in this country are not educated, and this all goes back to the profound conflict over abortion in this country. There's a whole lot of stuff we don't do because it just activates this old argument. Women need to be educated. And women, and that goes in school, that goes, you know, you can do PSA ads on the radio. No big deal. I am not in danger of having a child. But I wouldn't know if I were. I wouldn't know where or how to give the baby, and I would be afraid of a fire station because I'd be afraid if I put the baby down in the driveway, the fire engine would roll over it.
Well, I look at it, but I keep looking at it, thinking. I mean, I understand the thing that gets me about the abandoned baby laws. Its heart is in the right place. I just think it's problematic as far as in order to get the word out and in order to educate. Because you talk about educating women, where and when would we tell them about this information?
Well, again, we would educate them in school, in high school. We would educate them with PSAs.
Okay.
It would be just another public service campaign. You would
Now
that.
Here's the thing, though. Now, looking at it in schools, and again, let's look at the idea of doing it in schools and also in PSAs. And this is the problem. Again, I think the law has the right heart, but it's so hard to implement. Because if we talk about doing it in schools, the argument that I would have there would be if we are announcing it, say, in biology class or civics class or wherever it is that we're telling these kids about it, the chances are those kids in class that are not paying attention are those kids that need the announcement the most, and we're missing them. I mean, just like the idea that the kids are getting the lowest grades on the tests are not paying attention in class, and I assume these are also the kids that are probably abandoning their babies. I'm pretty sure that this 29-year-old who killed her baby and left it in the trash bin at the bar, I'm pretty sure she probably did not get above a 3.0 in high school.
Well, now, just a minute, Bill. You're way... One of the things that I find really frustrating is there's an awful lot of anger directed towards the mothers. In the Rocky Mountain News on Monday, ironically, there was a beautiful speak-out piece written by a woman who works with alternative pregnancy centers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and the thing that's so ironic is if those women had only, you know, read it or, you know, because it was a very, if you don't nurture the mother, you can't save the baby, period.
I agree with you. You're absolutely right there.
Now, the other point I want to make is that I don't understand psychologically what is happening to these women when they give birth the way they do and their actions after birth. In Europe, a woman who is not liable for criminal charges within like 24 or 48 hours after giving birth under these circumstances because it's presumed that she's not being rational. I cannot imagine, I simply cannot imagine these women being able to give birth so quickly, so efficiently, and may well assume the baby is dead. That could be, already dead. Being so disassociated from what is happening that they don't see it as a baby. They see it as something else. I don't know.
And I can see that, Marie. And what I'm looking at is if they disassociate with it, if they, you know, and all the things when you talked about even the newspaper piece that you were hoping that they would be able to read is I keep looking at it thinking that doesn't matter how much saturation that we're not going to hit the target audience. One, because, they're not going to be listening. And two, when they're in that mindset, they're not going to process it.
You're absolutely right. Right, but with a PR campaign, somebody near that mother will.
Hopefully, they would.
Women know when their girlfriends, their sisters, their daughters are pregnant.
Well,
everybody may be denying it, but women know.
Well, then how come? And this is what I'm concerned about, and I understand, and I've seen some of that as well, as far as you know, my wife being able to pick up on some pregnancies and other women, you know, when it gets to a certain level.
You just know.
Yeah. Well, looking at it, why didn't the friends that were at the bar with this woman? Again, I don't know if they were male or female. These friends. But why didn't they pick up on it if they were female?
Idea.
And that's the part that I keep getting to, and that's the thing that is frustrating for me, Marie, because I think that absolutely the law in and of itself is a great idea. I just look at the implementation of it and think that there's no way that we can ever effectively implement it so that we will stop them abandoning the babies. Because when you make that decision that, hey, when I have this baby, I'm going to dump it in the trash.
You're presuming that that is a decision these women have made, and I don't think it is. I think the decision they've made is to deny what's going on in their lives. That's
okay.
The decision I think they've made.
I can see that as well. I can see it. But then if they're denying it, then what leads us to believe that then they will make the decision to take the baby and dump it, drop it off at a fire station rather than dump it into the trash can if they're already denying that this baby exists? And that's where I think we could run into this brick wall.
This is what I think we ought to do. I think we ought to publicize that law all over the place. I think we should make that information just as available as 911, okay? And when people should be able to call 911 and get an answer to this, and I don't know whether they can or not. But we should publicize it. And if we have a campaign of public information and education, and then we still have this problem, then I'll concede you're right.
Okay.
But I think we haven't begun to deal with it.
I can see that. The only argument I was to make on the other side before we have to go here would be we publicize all the evils about smoking, and every year millions of kids pick up cigarettes, and they know the evils.
But smoking, that smoking campaign was so successful, you can't imagine how many people don't smoke anymore.
But it still happens, though. I mean, the kids know that it's going to kill them. They know about the addiction rates. They know about all the harms. I mean, if you actually would sit down and you'd list all the harms and all the things that go into cigarettes with kids and say, rationally, is this something that you really want to put in your body, given all the health consequences down the road, given everything you're going to have to go through, all the money that's going to take out of your pocket, rationally, they would say no. But every year those kids make that irrational decision, and that's what I'm afraid of, is even if we publicize this, we're still going to be hitting up against that irrational decision.
I would just tell you that the rate of smoking among people is so minuscule compared to what it used to be.
Oh, sure.
You know, so the smoking campaign has worked. And you don't get 100%, but you make the effort and you do your best. And this is so important. And I think that directing a lot of anger towards these women is just misdirected. I don't think they should be charged with first-degree murder. I think that's awful. You know, I think that what's going on is just mind-boggling to me. I think that we need to be supporting them. I think we need to publicize. I think we need to do everything we can to make sure this doesn't have to happen.
See, and I understand, and I'm trying not to be that angry with the mother, but I look at it and keep thinking that at some point or another, either a gear slipped in her mind or she made the decision that I need to deny this baby and throw it in the trash can, or I'm going to do X, Y, or Z. And I look at that, and I look at that and keep thinking that's her decision, and somewhere along the line, she needs to bear some responsibility for it.
And that may well be true, and I keep thinking, where was the father? Where was everybody around her? How did people not know?
You're absolutely right, and that's a wonderful question. Thanks for bringing that into the debate, Marie. I really appreciate it, because that is a good question. Where was the support system? Where was the father? Because many times we see that when you have these abandoned babies, as Marie adequately points out, that these women, they don't know. They also, many times, you don't have that support system. I can't remember a case of an abandoned baby in which there was a husband-wife and they already had a child, or an abandoned baby where it was a loving, supporting family and they decided to. There have been a couple of them, but very, very few of all the groups. So it seems that these are women that are outside of the normal support systems inside of society, don't necessarily have the education level, don't have the healthcare level. There are all sorts of little things that seem to be hiccups in the road, and I just keep looking at it thinking, if we publicize it, if we keep doing all of that, I'm not so certain we get over the hump. But what do you think? 303-382-1150. Let's talk a little bit more about this abandoned baby law. It's got the best heart in the world. It's problematic for me because it simply doesn't work. And it's difficult to have something, a law that appears so good on the surface, to unfortunately be so ineffectual. Why do you think that happens? 303-382-1150. Also want to let you know we're going to give away another couple of pairs of tickets to go see the Terracotta Warriors Friday, July 16th at 8 p.m. We'll send you to Temple Buell Theater, free, courtesy of AM 1150 KNRC. Those tickets will be coming up in a little bit, and I'll tell you how to win them. We'll get to Dwayne, Rob, Kevin, and your calls right after this. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Flush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm standing in the middle of Auraria Parkway. It's a traffic jam right now.
Whoa. But on August 13th, it'll be part of the fastest 3 days of the summer when the Centrix Financial Grand Prix of Denver brings the very best of open-wheel racing right here to these city streets. Wow, I can see it now. Some of the best cars and drivers in the world screaming past me at 160 miles an hour. 2003 Champ Car champion Paul Tracy racing wheel-to-wheel with two-time Denver Grand Prix winner Bruno Junqueira. They'll be side-to-side into turn one. They'll hit the brakes and then pull almost 3 Gs as they accelerate past the Pepsi Center. Well, you get the idea. Don't miss the Centrix Financial Grand Prix of Denver. It's your only chance to see this international field of drivers. But it'll be much more than just a race. There will be extreme sports, a lifestyle expo, and Sugar Ray playing live at the Universal Lending Pavilion Saturday, August 14th. Think of it as Denver at full throttle. And get your tickets at Ticketmaster by calling 303-830-TIXS or visit gpdenver.com. The Centrix Financial Grand Prix of Denver, August 13th through 15th.
Hey, get out of the room.
Okay, well, so I'm a little early.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and allow me to introduce you to the number one public golf course in Colorado as rated by golfers and peers alike. Joining me now to talk about the Ridge at Castle Pines North is manager Daryl Fuston.
Thanks, Doug. You are right. The Ridge at Castle Pines North is consistently rated as the number one public course in Colorado. We have become the venue of choice for corporate and charity events. We are committed to providing the best golfing experience in Colorado.
It is the perfect place for corporate outings and for businessmen and women to choose to entertain their clients. When you want to take that prospective client or client to the perfect course, this is it.
And with our great restaurant, spectacular front range views, along with Troon Golf's Country Club for a Day philosophy, we are the perfect place to bring your clients and to set up corporate golf events.
And you know, we haven't even talked about the course. Once you play the beautiful 18 holes at the Ridge at Castle Pines North, you are sure to come back. Set up a tee time or call for info about your corporate or charity event. 303-688-4301. That's 303-688-4301. The Ridge at Castle Pines, your country club for a day.
Mention you heard this ad on KNRC and receive an additional 20% off.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher at this hour with the Dow up 35 and the NASDAQ up 9. Mixed news on the employment front today. The Labor Department says fewer jobs were opened up in May than the month before, and the number of new hires fell more than 5%. However, new hires exceeded the number of people who quit or lost their jobs. Oil prices pulled back today. That after Saudi Arabia said OPEC will stick by its plan to boost output by 500,000 barrels a day. That won't be hard to do. According to new data, the cartel has been exceeding its quota by much more than that, about 3.5 million barrels above the target. The Energy Department predicts that gasoline prices will keep drifting lower through the summer and into the fall. The forecast is for an average of $1.89 a gallon in the second half of the year. After the closing bell today, watch for earnings from Alcoa and from Yahoo. I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio, with the Dow up 36 and the NASDAQ up 8.
Now with weather on the hour, here's meteorologist Jenna Moran.
Thanks so much, Tom. It looks like the jet stream will usher in temperatures way below normal. Clouds will be with us all this week. No sunshine is expected for quite some time. Also, heavy wind advisories will be in effect with a possibility for downed trees and power lines. But there is good news on the way.
What's that, Jenna?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
When I get one of my headaches, every minute of that pounding, throbbing pain is a minute too long. So when I take something, I want to make sure I choose the one that will get rid of that tough pain faster.
The moment of choice. Tylenol or Advil for faster headache relief. Truth is, Advil Liquid Gels rush relief to your headache faster than Tylenol. And Advil Relief is stronger, better relief too.
Headache's gone already. Glad I chose Advil.
For faster headache relief, advance to Advil Relief.
Enid Goldstein.
Let's see what all the excitement is about.
Middays at noon.
Now, what in the world is wrong with that?
On AM 1150 KNRC. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
A homicide that's done knowingly by a person in a position of trust to a child under the age of 12. And so the allegation here is murder in the first degree.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1229 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Bill Thorpe sitting in for Enid Goldstein. Found a statement from the American Adoption Congress that said although they support the life-saving intent of these proposed safe haven bills, experience shows these bills rarely work and rarely do they end up saving babies' lives. And that's what Marie and I were talking about in the last segment. I appreciate her phone call because she had some good thoughts. And I think this is a law that basically has the best of intentions and the most horrible of consequences, because unfortunately it just doesn't seem to work, and there are many, many reasons that it doesn't seem to work. It's one of those pieces of legislation that looked great on the surface, but unfortunately just doesn't do what it is intended to. What do you think? 303-382-1150. I'm going to jump to the phones, talk to Dwayne in Aurora. Dwayne, how are you today?
Hey, Bill, how are you today?
Doing good. I'm enjoying Wednesday. Hope you are.
Yes, I am.
Good.
Just real quickly, yeah. You know, I feel I'm a pretty compassionate person, but I combine compassion with accountability.
Yeah.
And you know, this concept that seems to be ever increasingly permeating America, that you are not responsible for what you do. I mean, it is always either the government let you down, society let you down, your friends let you down. I think it is one of the most destructive forces in the United States. I really do. I mean, if you're gonna have a society where there is always an excuse, no matter what it is you have done, you are setting yourself up for a nightmare.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In a country in which we always tout individual liberty, we sure spend an awful lot of time talking about who else's fault it is.
Yeah, tout liberty and avoid accountability.
Yeah.
And here's the thing when it comes to this. Two things. Number one, you know, in America today, I don't care if you're in high school or if you're a 29-year-old woman like mm-hmm. this woman was. What good is a little poster in a woman's restroom going to do? How can anyone tell me in America today you are unaware that abortion is available as an option? You are unaware that there are adoption agencies, and you are totally unaware that you could leave your child on a church pew, put it in a King Soopers shopping cart, and leave it in the store. I mean, most women who have been pregnant for a while have had months to dwell on this,
yeah.
And the best option you can have is to abandon your baby in a dumpster and let it die. I'm sorry, that is simply unacceptable. There are too many readily available options to you to not have to do that.
And that's the part that, and I understand where Marie was talking to me about, you know, being angry toward the mother, and that's where I get angry about it, is that I look at it and keep thinking that whatever happened in this woman's mind, at some point or another, she made the decision that the best thing that she could do to get rid of the baby is to drop it in the trash. And look at that and go, that just rubs me wrong. There's
yeah.
got to be accountability on that end.
There are too many other readily available options, just far too many.
Yeah.
And, you know, I it's probably a little more pressure. I mean, if you're 15 years old, you're trying to hide your pregnancy from your parents, a
yeah.
difficult family situation, there's more pressure on you. But if you're a 29-year-old woman, you know, I'm sorry, you don't really have an excuse for choosing that as an option. It is just not acceptable, and you have to be held accountable for that action. The other
yeah.
thing real quickly, and I just knew this was going to happen.
What?
You know, I'm one of those people who firmly believes in the women's right to control
yeah.
their reproductive system.
Yep.
I think abortion is certainly their right, and I don't condone. I mean, I don't see any bad connotations to that. But I knew today on the radio I was going to hear these people saying, "Well, gee, you know, if you support abortion, what is the problem with this?" And I mean, anyone out there who has that philosophy, if you don't see the difference, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. You know, there's just, yeah, you know, you may not support abortion, but if you think this is the same thing as getting an abortion, you need to think that through.
Yeah, it just flat out isn't. Dwayne, I appreciate the phone
sure.
call. Thank
Bye.
You so much. Take care. 303-382-1150 is a phone number. I want to make sure that I get Rob in Denver on before we hit the next news break. Rob, thanks for holding on KNRC. How are you doing today?
Hey, Bill. Doing good. How are you?
Good. Not too bad for a Wednesday. What do you think about this abandoned baby law, and what's your opinion on it?
Well, I think you're right. The first, and as well as the first few callers, it's hard to say the whole law is a failure based on one crazy woman's action.
Yeah, that's true.
She had 9 months to decide what she was going to do. If that wasn't enough time to make a good decision, who we would consider,
yeah.
society would consider a good decision, she's just not a person that this law is ever going to help.
I think so. I think that's the issue that I have is that, you know, and I really want this law to work 100% of the time, and it isn't. It's working a fraction of the time, and I'm really happy when it does work. I just keep thinking that the individuals that we are targeting aren't the ones that A, are looking for a solution, or B, are going to run into the messages that exist out there. So that's the problem that I have, is I keep thinking that at some point when this woman has made the decision, the best way for me to deal with this is to dump it in the trash can. How is any manner of a PR campaign going to help that or going to change that? I just don't see it working.
It won't. But, you know, I got to say, I'm a supporter of the law just because I think if it saves one baby's life, the law is worthwhile. I mean, what's the value of a life in terms of percentages of what works and doesn't work?
I can see that, and I could support you on that. I wouldn't be one that would want to take it away. I just look at it, and I keep thinking, the thing that got me was that it was viewed as a holy grail, that all these babies are not going to be abandoned. I kept looking back going, statistics are not showing us that. All the other states show us that their babies are still going to be abandoned, that this isn't going to solve the problem.
Right. So what we have to do as a culture is decide, all right, what if this isn't working, what's the solution? Law is a good first step, but I've been in social work before. I know you're not always going to be able to reach all the people, evidently, like this woman. There's just always going to be people that make the wrong choice for whatever social or, you know, mental problem they may have.
Yeah.
But, you know, the previous caller made a point that I thought was interesting, and it sounds like you're a supporter, too, saying there's a big difference between abortion and abandoning a baby and stuffing it in the trash can.
I think there is, and it would be how I phrase abortion, because for me, I'm a person that... I'm not a wholehearted in favor of abortion. This is nothing that, you know, with my daughter, my wife, friends of mine that I would go, wow, gosh, abortion is what you need to choose at this point. But I have a hard time imposing some of my religious beliefs on the rest of society. So that's where I do, and I know that I'm splitting hairs on it. I'm also never, ever, ever a fan of late-term abortions. I think once you get that third trimester, that's it. That's a baby. You keep it no matter what. And even within parts of the second trimester, I think we crest over an area. I've got a very narrow window of when I would allow an abortion, but that's because I'm a little weird. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, all the current medical knowledge would tell you that, you know, a baby, even in the first trimester, really has all the same functioning things of a human being.
Yeah, sure can. Opens its eyes, plays, kicks, moves, by 12 weeks,
Feels pain, all those things. So, at what point do we, as a culture, continue to embrace a choice mentality? Or I guess we have to be honest with ourselves. If we're saying a late-term abortion is okay or partial birth abortion is okay, there really isn't any difference in the humanality of that baby.
I would say from the late term and the partial birth abortions, I would agree with you on that. I would say earlier on, there is a little bit of wiggle room based on is the baby viable, is it not, and also dealing with higher brain function and some other things as far as where the baby can develop. But yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's why it really annoys me when there are people out there that are saying, yeah, they're abortion supporters, but they're very dogmatic on the idea that it's an all or a nothing, that if they give away late-term abortions or they give away partial birth abortions, all of a sudden now we're eroding the abortion law. It's the idea that if we allowed people to grow hemp here, all of a sudden now everybody's going to be smoking pot. Those slippery slope arguments I don't think wash, because many times we have decided, well, we will legalize in this country this and not legalize something else. I mean, the 21st Amendment's a great example of that. We decided not to have liquor, then decided to legalize liquor. We didn't then continue to legalize drugs, but that was a slippery slope argument. So
yeah, and I would agree. I'm definitely a pro-life person, but I think... anybody on any side of the argument has to, if we're going to have a basis to have, you know, clear and coherent discussions on it, everybody has to be at the first point honest with it. And if you're a supporter of abortion, and let's just narrow it down to third trimester abortion, you got to be honest with yourself and say there really isn't a difference here.
I would agree with you that if you look at the third trimester and that you look at the idea of what was going on with the abandoned baby, there really isn't that much of a difference, because at any point in that third trimester, you really can take the baby out of the womb and it still is a very viable human being, a very viable person. It feels, it touches, it responds. It does all of those things. So you're right, Rob, and it's a sticky wicket. It's one of those that where we go and how we deal with life and individuals and babies inside of this country. I mean, look at even how we deal with the idea of marital or family leave after you have a baby. Look at how much time we allow a mother to stay at home with the baby and what we allow the father to do and how we want to cultivate these families. And then, of course, there's a whole movement on the inside of the country that say, hey, those of you that have kids, we should take away all the tax breaks and everything else that you receive because it's your choice and you're making that type of a choice. So how we deal with kids, it's very strange. We're often duplicitous on this. And, Rob, I appreciate you helping me out on that one. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. It's 1238. This is AM 1150, KNRC. And now to talk to that man who we are so happy that his mother did not decide to abandon him and leave him in a trash can, but she did abandon him in Kmart and Walmart. He just kept finding his way home. That's because she kept trying to. He was like 4 and 5 years old, and you know, he knew his address, and she was actually upset about that at that point.
I knew how to get home.
Yeah, she said, man, you know, we taught this kid how to read and write. What were we thinking? He could have been Wolf Boy. Hey, Tim, what's going on in news?
Well, it's mostly sunny, 87 degrees right now. The man wanted in connection with an assault on Mount Evans has been shot in Texas. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound I-25 at Yale. Sounds like we have a stalled vehicle in traffic there. A tow truck just pulling up to it. It is a she driver, female driver, and she'll check on it for us. Let us know what's up there. Area around Bayard and Grove is closed at this hour. That because of a police situation there. Not sure what the problem is, but that area is still closed while police finish up some sort of an investigation. Federal, Alameda, and First Avenue would be good alternates until that road can be reopened. Monaco and Tennessee, watch for an injury accident involving a bicyclist. Also getting a report of an accident at Santa Fe and Alameda. Piece of wood in traffic as well. Eastbound I-70 at Washington Street. Somebody trying to get in there and get that out of the way. Air National Guard has the information this time. Have you separated from military service and wish you'd never left? Join the Air National Guard, work part-time, and earn retirement benefits. Call 1-800-TOGO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
A deputy in Comal County, Texas, shot the man who's wanted in connection with a recent assault and robbery of a woman who was riding her bike near Echo Lake Lodge. The deputy was responding to a report of a suspicious man at a storage facility near San Antonio. When the deputy asked the man for ID, he pulled a shotgun from his pickup. When Morris refused to drop the gun, the deputy shot him. Morris is in critical condition at a Texas hospital. This report brought to you by Quest Choice Business. The Humane Society of Larimer County is meeting with the district attorney's office there to discuss filing charges against a woman who's accused of running a puppy mill. The Humane Society found 84 abandoned laboratory retrievers at a home near Berthet. The woman who was renting the house from a long-haul trucker has disappeared. The suspect in one homicide and two attempted murders has apparently taken his own life. Police have identified the body of a man found in a car in Aurora as Frederick Williams, Jr. Aurora police had obtained warrants for Williams in the homicide of one person and the attempted first-degree murder of two others. The coroner's office says Williams died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Quest Choice Business, your business line, plus any five features for just $39.99 a month. Over 100,000 small businesses have already signed up for Quest Choice Business. Shouldn't you? We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:41.
Your summer passport for news and information. Identification, please.
Where talk happens. AM 1150 KNRC.
Enjoy your summer.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast, mostly sunny skies for us through the afternoon. It'll become mostly cloudy this evening, maybe some isolated thunderstorms. Partly cloudy after midnight, down to around 60 for tonight's low. Mostly sunny tomorrow, will top out around 90. Mostly sunny in 87 now. KNRC News Time is 1243. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Dave Tewksbury, and since 1996, our store, Tewksbury & Company, has been known as Downtown Denver. Lifestyle store. We specialize in the most sought after and highly rated cigars with over 300 selections in our spacious walk-in humidor. But many of our customers know us as the store for tasting and purchase of Colorado's award-winning wines 7 days a week. Yeah, you heard me right. We sell wines on Sunday too. In fact, we received Westward's Best of Denver Award for the best place to buy wines on a Sunday. In addition, for those of you who are outdoor enthusiasts, we're the only store
store to offer fly fishing supplies and licensed fly fishing guide service in downtown Denver. Our 5 employees are knowledgeable and congenial. It'll help you to find that right cigar or bottle of Colorado wine. Now, we're located in Ryder Square, just between the 16th Street Mall and Larimer Square. So stop by and give us a call at 303-825-1880 or visit us on the web at TewksberryCompany.com. At Tewksbury & Company, we say if you love cigars, wines, or fly fishing, we talk your language.
You'll hear more minutes of talk content here per hour than any other Denver radio station. AM 1150 KNRC. More talk, less clutter. Now, another long set of uninterrupted talk. Here's Enid Goldstein.
1244 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. The phone number is 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Man, beautiful day here in Denver, Colorado. Look at these gorgeous blue skies hanging out over downtown. Just a little bit of clouds wisping above the mountains out to the east or out to the west. Man, this is beautiful. This is really nice. Too bad I'm cooped up in this tiny little box today. But I'm happy to be joining you for lunch. We're sitting around talking a little bit about the abandoned baby law. And there are a couple of other things that I've run into. And we, of course, can take more phone calls on that if you want to talk a little bit about the baby that was abandoned, over the weekend or a couple of days ago. And the woman that basically, dumped it inside of a, trash can in a bar. And I'm focusing on the abandoned baby law. The idea that I just don't... It's a law that has all of the best intentions, but so many problems getting implemented because those individuals in which it is designed to reach are exactly those individuals who, A, are not looking for that message, B, are probably not going to be able to to access that message, and C, they're probably not going to care because, again, this is an individual that at some point or another has made the decision that the best way to get rid of their child is not to leave it to King Soopers or not to even walk into they could walk into a hospital or into a fire station. And again, if you were thinking, wow, if I need to abandon this baby, where could I do it? You probably would go to a large crowded area or somewhere that is a high traffic area. You wouldn't go to a dumpster. And so at the point in which these ladies have decided to dump the baby into the trash can, you're really expecting a whole heck of a lot of rational thought out of someone that I don't think is giving a whole lot of rational thought at that point. So that's the problem. I think that it is basically an insurmountable barrier. We can have the law, it'll make us feel good, and every time we do save one baby, that's great. But unfortunately, it doesn't work, and statistically works very rarely. If you want to chat about that, we can. It's a little depressing, though. But for something that was actually more fun and entertaining, I hope you saw, we talked about it yesterday, the New York Post, the cover where they say Kerry's choice above the fold and the Dem picks Gebhardt as VP candidate and had this exclusive. And it's kind of nice when you see that happen in major media outlets. And the New York Post is actually reporting it right today. They're running kind of a tongue-in-cheek apology. And I don't know if you've seen it. It actually on page one, the front page, just like yesterday, says Kerry's choice, Dem picks Edwards as VP candidate. And then in parentheses says, really? And underneath it in big bold letters, not exclusive. So, and the tabloid is actually calling the mistake their Gaffhard instead of, guffaw or anything else or gaff. It's a Gaffhard, like Gebhardt. They do say, quote, rest assured, generous helpings of crow were eaten here yesterday, and the leftovers will surely last a few more days. We do hope you all will forgive the error. It certainly was one for the record books. Now, I took a peek yesterday on eBay, and I saw some front page of the New York Post. I'm thinking, okay, we're a capitalist society. Somebody's got to be yanking those things off and sell them on eBay. And I was thinking, honestly, if it was $5-$10, yeah, sure, I'd plop that down and pay for one. It was like $65. I'm like, I'm not paying $65 for a stupid paper. And then it got to high as $71, I'm reading on some reports yesterday. I thought it was kind of funny that the main competitor for the Post, the New York Daily News, actually sent over a few bottles of champagne and with a note that said, congratulations on your exclusive, have a nice day. That's fun. I think that's kind of interesting. Tongue-in-cheek. They're not, bashing each other openly, but it's kind of a friendly competition. I kind of get a little bit of a kick out of that. So one of the things I want to talk to you about is the idea of what Edwards received as far as media attention after he announced that he was the vice presidential nominee. Now, again, we do always go through the idea of whether or not there is this liberal bias in the media, and I think the media outlets, to a certain extent, probably lean a little bit left, but this overwhelming bias that everybody claims, I simply don't buy into, and there's a number of reasons for that, largely being the audience, that the media itself who likes to give the audience what it wants and what will make them sell papers and sell magazines and what pulls you in order to read the story. The idea I always had was if you looked inside of the Clinton affair and you would say things like Clinton lies under oath or Clinton has sex with intern, which magazine do you buy? You buy the one that says Clinton has sex with intern. So how we report and what the media is feeding us is largely due, unfortunately, on how we consume it. You can even see that in the ramp up to war as far as how we control that. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the Edwards and how it was received in the media, but we'll also talk a little bit about the abandoned baby law and what you think about the law. And I keep looking at it, and I don't think it's working to the efficiency that we needed. But I think Christopher might disagree with me, and he's on a cell phone, so I want to make sure that we get to him before we hit the next break. Christopher, thanks for calling KNRC. How are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good, bro. How you doing?
No, not too bad, man. What's on your mind about the abandoned baby law?
It's not about the law, really. It's about all the people that have been calling you the last couple of minutes, and
yeah,
all of them happen to be guys.
Yeah.
And they always all say the same thing. Oh, it's wrong. Oh, it's you know, it's bad that these women are doing that. I got to ask you and everybody else,
yep,
have you ever been next to a pregnant woman?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know how crazy they are?
Oh, at times, absolutely. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I can understand the feelings that go behind your guys' thoughts about, oh, it's a baby, oh, I'm sorry. You know, and I think the same way, too. But women are nuts when they're pregnant. You know, they're completely, utterly, totally, they're not even thinking on the same level as you or I or any other normal thinking person out there. They're not on the same plane. They're not there.
Well, yes and no. I mean, they are there enough to have, I mean, they don't, see, the thing is that if all women were nuts, then why aren't all women then abandoning their babies or doing equally crazy things?
Okay, well, all women are nuts, but there's a varying degree of nuts for women.
That I could see.
I mean, I have been around some extreme cases of women just going completely bonkers.
Yeah.
And then some who are just completely normal, you know, as far as pregnant goes.
Yeah. Now, if we look at it, and I'm glad you said that, because otherwise you'd probably end up sleeping on the couch, Christopher, because I've got to make sure. Now, the idea that I keep looking at, though, is at what point, and even if they are going nuts, I keep looking at this, even if we have this abandoned baby law, is this woman who is going nuts, per se, whether or not I want to blame her for what she did to the baby, I keep looking, if we go back to the law, if these women are so crazy, are they necessarily going to take advantage of an abandoned baby law?
I just don't think it got enough press. I mean, I know it did, but
yeah.
I don't think there is enough. I think you need to go not just to, like, everywhere else, but the schools. Everywhere. It needs to be plastered everywhere so all these people know what's going on.
Well, you know, I keep looking at it, but I come back to, strangely enough, some of the smoking examples, and I say that, you know, that we've got stuff all over the place about how smoking kills you. Hell, it's printed on the pack. And, you know, Dennis Leary, the comedian, always makes the joke that you could put a big skull and crossbones on the pack and call them tumors, and people would probably line up even further. And, you know,
they have those.
Yeah, so that's what I'm looking at. So if we have these tumor cigarettes or we have all of this information around about the idea that you can let your baby go, if, as you say, the women are so crazy and they're irrational, are they going to take advantage of that law? I keep thinking that this law, for all its best intentions, we can't effectively implement it, one, primarily because of the target audience, the people that
yeah.
we are trying to reach, one, either aren't thinking clearly, or two, are going to be exactly on that low end of the socioeconomic scale where they won't, where the message simply won't reach them. They won't be listening to the right radio stations. They won't take the time to read in the bathrooms. They're not going to be listening in class. And that's what I keep looking at.
Because they're nuts.
Yeah.
Because they're nuts, man. They're not thinking clearly, dude.
And that's what I'm worried about.
The thing I disagree with is all these men.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm a guy. All these men saying, oh, it's wrong, oh, it's wrong. Have a baby first and then say that. That's all I got to say.
Well, I know this, Christopher, man. I was in the delivery room with my wife on both occasions, and there is nothing that large ever coming out of an opening in my body. There's no way that is happening.
See,
no
now,
way.
If the men were to have the baby,
yeah,
we would have the best drugs in the known universe.
Yes, we would, and we'd all get 2 years off after we have that baby.
Exactly.
Hey, Christopher, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Well,
take care, man. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I tell you, my wife went through things during pregnancy that I never would. There's no way. I think, like Christopher said, that if the men had to give the babies, we'd have a population shortage. We wouldn't be talking about overpopulation or anything else. There'd probably only be about six of us left standing around going, dude, I'm not having the baby. You have the baby. Dude, I'm not having the baby. You have the baby. We'd be arguing about that. So, Christopher, thanks for the phone call. And I do, and that's a problem for me. And Christopher brought up a real dichotomy that I have inside of myself, because I do have, and Marie, early in the hour, pointed it out, I do have this anger toward the mother because of what she did to the child. I have this anger inside of me, but I'm not necessarily sure it's focused properly. I do want to say that, yes, she made that choice, and yes, I want to hold her accountable. yeah, like Christopher said, she can be a little loony. Do we then excuse it? Well, we do in other areas of the law. Do we in this case? That's a rough one. I mean, I still come back to the idea that even if we publicize the law and we have it everywhere, every single bus stop, every single billboard, it's in every single bathroom, I'm just not convinced that even that super saturation would reach the target audience because, one, I don't think they're looking for that message. I don't think that's the message they're looking for. I don't think that's the message they're trying to find. Because if they were an internet search, a conversation with a friend, a couple of phone calls could give these mothers the answers they need about where they could abandon their babies. But none of them did that. If this 29-year-old that abandoned her baby and killed it in the trash can in the bar, if she would have picked up the phone and even dialed 911 and asked the question, or called a police station, or a fire station, or a hospital, and just asked one question, she could have found out what to do with her baby, but she didn't even do that. So I don't think they're out there looking for the answer and looking for the right answer. What do you think? 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. Here in a couple of minutes, we'll be able to give you a free pair of tickets to go see the Terracotta Warriors Friday, July 16th at 8 p.m. at the Temple Buell Theater. I'll tell you how to win those. Maybe when you come back, maybe we'll hold them till next hour. That's called a radio tease. We'll see how long you stick with me. I'll be back after this. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Flush Rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein. Noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
With new lunches like their Jamaican Jerk Chicken Salad with low-fat mango ginger vinaigrette, Einstein Brothers is the next best thing to living in a gourmet restaurant. Lunch today? Stop by Einstein Brothers.
Denny's celebrates a new take on the fairy tale movie called A Cinderella Story starring Hilary Duff. Most fairy tales end with happily ever after, but this one ends with new happily ever after meals at Denny's. Right now, when you buy a happily ever after meal, you get a full-size limited edition A Cinderella Story movie poster absolutely free. While supplies last for a limited time, only at participating Denny's restaurants. A Cinderella Story from Warner Brothers Pictures in theaters July 16th, rated PG. Some material may not be suitable for children.
Supporting those involved in serving and protecting our country has never been more important. The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is to ensure our veterans receive the medical care and rehabilitation to which they're entitled. To provide programs that strengthen bodies and stimulate minds. To ensure access to housing, education, and transportation. To find out how you can support our nation's paralyzed veterans, call 1-866-USA-4PVA. That's 1-866-USA-4PVA.
It may not be your fault you're overweight. Defeat the hormones that keep you fat and learn why even doctors are ordering CortiSlim. 1-800-LOSS-139. 1-800-LOSS-139. 800-LOSS-139.
We are gathered here today to join this station and this listener in holy matrimony. Do you, the listener, take traffic and weather together through tie-ups and sudden showers for newscasts and financial information from talk show to talk show till power outage? Do you bark?
I do.
I now pronounce you listener and listenee. You may now kiss the dial.
Ah, sheer wedded bliss. Hope you're enjoying the honeymoon as much as we are. We plan for it to be a long one. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, it's Jimmy Lakey inviting you to join me Thursday morning on my radio show right here on AM 1150 KNRC. We'll give you all the news, traffic, weather, sports, all the information you need, and we'll keep those phone lines open. Hey, don't forget, Thursday morning, my special guest, Pete Coors, senatorial candidate, on the show with yours truly, Jimmy Lakey, Thursday morning on AM 1150 KNRC. See you there.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1258 here at AM 1150 KNRC, and I've been telling you about it. The Terracotta Warriors started, the first performance was last night. It will run through July 18th. Their performance is Tuesday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday both have two shows. The Tuesday through Friday shows start at 8. Saturday and Sunday start at 2, and then 8 o'clock, well, 7:30 on Sunday, it'll go a little bit early. It's actually a new action musical. I talked to Jimmy Lakey. He had seen it last night. I think Zach in our promotions department was also there. And they said it's a really great show. It's got extravagant dance and lots of songs, martial arts, and it's adapted from historical accounts of the life of the first emperor. Starts out at his coronation and ends at his death. And basically, it's talking about how China was ruled at the time, how loyalty was given, how love basically blossoms, and all sorts of romance and betrayal as power pulls and clashes inside of the event. Now, you do have to take a little bit of extra time because a lot of it happens in Chinese. There's some singing and things like that in Chinese, so you got to spend some time reading your program so you understand where basically the landscape is going before you see what happens. Now, if you want to take advantage of seeing Terracotta Warriors, I've got two tickets for you. Give me a ring right now, 303-382-1150. Third caller, 303-382-1150. We'll go see Terracotta Warriors Friday, July 16th at 8 p.m. at the Buell Theater, courtesy of AM 1150 KNRC. I know you've done something. You've annoyed the girlfriend, or maybe you just don't have a lot of money. You've taken that pay cut at work recently or working that second job. This is a way that I'll let you take her out, go see a nice dinner. Maybe you can go dancing a little bit afterwards, go see that jazz club, hang out, and have a few drinks. So make a good night. 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe. In for Enid Goldstein, I'm back after the news. This is KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Fred Francis. The new political team of John Kerry and John Edwards has hit the campaign trail. Kerry says his decision to pick the North Carolina senator as his running mate makes for a dream ticket.
We've got better vision. We've got better ideas. We've got real plans. We've got a better sense of what's happening to America, and we've got better hair. And I'll tell you, that goes a long way.
President Bush is visiting Edwards' home state of North Carolina, which Mr. Bush won last time and says he will again this year. Lawyers for 10 terror suspects being held at the Guantanamo Naval Base are asking a British court to throw out evidence against their clients. The attorneys say some information may have been obtained through torture, a claim U.S. officials reject. Lance Armstrong is smiling again, and with good reason. The American has taken the lead in the Tour de France bicycle race. Armstrong's trying for a record sixth win. I'm Fred Francis, NBC News Radio.
The ATM. Insert your card, enter your PIN number, get four 20s and a handful of streptococci. Don't let germs interrupt your ATMing. Use Purell Instant Hand Sanitizer and kill 99.9% of most common germs that may make you sick. The CDC says eliminating germs on hands helps stop the spread of infection. So use the ATM, but use Purell because you may withdraw a fistful of cold, hard E. coli. Purell, powerful protection against germs.
Hey guys, don't let the weather get the best of you. Fight back and protect the value of your home with Duration exterior coating from your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Unlike other exterior paints, Duration protects in one coat, and it's guaranteed for as long as you own your home. And now, buy 4 or more gallons of Duration exterior coating and get 50% off your choice of any Werner ladder. And make the job easier with our new line of paint sprayers and pressure washers, too. Ask how. Ask now. Ask Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 87 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The suspect in the recent Mount Evans assault has been shot in Texas. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
New freeway problem is an overturned vehicle on a Highway 470, E-470 at 96th Avenue. Watch for a lot of emergency equipment heading in there. Yeah, a little closer to town, things moving along in fairly good shape. Earlier stall southbound I-25 at 20th Street never really did cause much of a problem for anybody. Monaco and Tennessee, remnants of an injury accident at that intersection. And at 107th and Arapahoe and Lafayette, report of some sheep that got loose from the pen and they're wandering around out on the highway. Melody Holmes has the information. It's D.R. Horton, America's Builder Melody Series. Great incentives, no down, no closing cost programs available. Visit MelodyLiving.com or call 866-MELODY-H.
Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
41-year-old John Morris is in critical condition after being shot by a deputy in Texas. Morris is wanted in connection with the recent assault and robbery of a woman who was riding her bike near Echo Lake Lodge. The deputy confronted Morris at a storage facility near San Antonio, asked him for ID. Morris grabbed a shotgun from his pickup, and when he refused to drop it, the deputy shot him. Clear Creek County Sheriff's Detective Mark Douglas says he would have preferred that guns hadn't been involved when Morris was apprehended.
I feel better that he's off the street. I regret the way that he was taken into custody.
Once Morris recovers, he'll probably be tried in Texas first, then extradited to Colorado. This report brought to you by General Motors. The investigation into that fire at an Adams County apartment complex continues, but the investigation has now switched from the scene to the laboratory. Evidence collected from the fire is being tested to determine what started the fire. Investigators say the blaze began on the third floor and burned its way down. Investigators still trying to figure out what happened Monday night when 18-year-old Jolene Cunningham died after falling or being pushed from a moving car. Cunningham was in a Chevy Blazer that was going at about 70 miles an hour on Highway 85 south of Fort Lupton Monday night. Timothy Vigil told Weld County deputies that he and Cunningham were having an argument while he was taking her to a Denver shelter. So far, no charges have been filed. In sports, tonight the Colorado Rockies will try to extend their 5-game winning streak and sweep the San Francisco Giants at the same time. Rocks beat the Giants 8-6 last night. Joe Kennedy gets the start for the Rockies tonight. When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just push a button and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar, always there, always ready. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 104.
When you need to know
information,
you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Dave Tewksbury, and since 1996, our store, Tewksbury & Company, has been known as downtown Denver's lifestyle store. We specialize in the most sought-after and highly rated cigars with over 300 selections in our spacious walk-in humidor. But many of our customers know us as the store for tasting and purchase of Colorado's award-winning wines 7 days a week. Yeah, you heard me right. We sell wines on Sunday, too. In fact, we received Westward's Best of Denver Award for the best place to buy wines on a Sunday. In addition, for those of you who are outdoor enthusiasts, we're the only store to offer fly fishing supplies and licensed fly fishing guide service in downtown Denver. Our 5 employees are knowledgeable and congenial. It'll help you to find that right cigar or bottle of Colorado wine. Now, we're located in Ryder Square, just between the 16th Street Mall and Larimer Square, so stop by and give us a call at 303-825-1880 or visit us on the web at TewksburyCompany.com. At Tewksbury & Company, we say if you love cigars, wines, or fly fishing, we talk your language.
I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Plenty of sunshine for the afternoon hours and breezy conditions out there. A few clouds building up those we had towards evening, highs in the lower 90s. Variably cloudy with an isolated storm perhaps early tonight, then conditions will be dry, 64 the low. Lots of sunshine and a beautiful Thursday coming up, highs around 90. On Friday, another little disturbance comes along. Variably cloudy, a few scattered late-day storms, perhaps highs in the mid-80s. For the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau on AM 1150 KNRC.
87 degrees under mostly sunny skies. KNRC News Time is 106. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
I don't know, it's 107. Every time I hear that open, there's part of me that feels like I'm being disingenuous because this up to now, one of the Mile High region's most entertaining talk personalities, Enid Goldstein, and I'm going to get my sorry butt. What is that? That's like, you know, that's like opening the candy bar and finding out you have, like, no almonds in your Almond Joy. I don't know. I just think that that's kind of, I feel bad. That's for all of you tuning in going, hey, this isn't Enid. Hey, who's this moron? Oh, man. 107 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Phone number is 303-382-1150. Last hour, we gave you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Terracotta Warriors. Sometime in the next 2 hours, I'm going to be giving you a chance to win a second pair of tickets. I'm not going to tell you when that will occur. Basically, it's when Joe and I decide we're going to do it. So we have no idea when it's going to happen, so I couldn't tell you if I wanted to. So that's going to be a surprise. A surprise for both you and I later on in the show. We were talking last hour about the abandoned baby law, and God, it just gets to me that, and we'll go over this just for a second as well, that it's a law that has the best of intentions and the worst of applications, that we just simply cannot make it work for to save our lives and to save the lives of little ones as well, unfortunately. And that just, I think that implementing it is problematic. And so although it makes us feel good, just simply can't be done. Yeah, I wouldn't take it off the books. Probably wouldn't have voted for it in the first place, but right now would not take it off the books because, yeah, sure, if we are able to save the one kid, the law's already there. I don't think we're necessarily expending ourselves if we do are able to save a handful of kids. But it's just maddening to me that we can't find something that would be more effective, and I can't come up with it. I don't have the answer. I racked my brain for hours today, and I have in the past as well thinking about it, and I don't think there's an easy answer that when the mother finally decides to drop that baby in the trash, I don't think there's any way we're going to be able to reach her beforehand because those individuals that decide to do that don't have the support systems, don't have the friends, the fathers around, their families. They also don't normally have the education and the means to have access to it, and they haven't done the work. They haven't thought about it and gone, let's see, adoption trash can. Gosh, that adoption place is so far away. Trash can's right outside. I'll just go to the trash can. They're not weighing it that way. So it's difficult for me. But we're going to move on as well. If you want to talk about that, I'll absolutely entertain those phone calls, 303-382-1150. Because, again, this is somewhat of a partnership. And so, yeah, I get to direct the ship, but you guys are all kind of the crew as well. So, you know, if the crew wants to go to starboard, then we go starboard for a while. Also, I was looking at how the media was reacting to John Edwards. John Edwards being named the vice presidential nominee, and we had some fun talking with you about that yesterday. The thing that I was surprised about is I always get into the liberal, you know, conservative media. Is there a liberal media bias? Is there not? In fact, Darren Copeland and I were talking about it earlier this morning and yesterday. And I was expecting, given some of the conversations he and I had yesterday, I was expecting this deafening roar from the media about the fact that, oh my gosh, John Edwards, the election is over right now, that we might as well just, you know, punch the ticket to make sure that we change over all the phone lines and everything else inside of the White House because it's going to be a Kerry presidency now, and Edwards is the savior, and I didn't get that. I got that from some areas, but I didn't get this overwhelming, vast media cheer that Edwards was the savior. And the strange thing was, is in some of the locations, I got the exact opposite. I got a very conservative, Republicanized statement. In fact, one of the websites I visit to the most that I do understand is a conservative website, even though we don't really always like to admit that it is, but it is. The Drudge Report. Yeah, Matt Drudge is conservative, and Matt Drudge does lean the news that he puts out there to be conservative. Yes. Is that a surprise? No, it shouldn't be to any one of you that visit that site on a regular basis. But what did surprise me is after the announcement yesterday, what Matt Drudge was running on his webpage. What did he have? He had the big headline, RNC, Who is John Edwards? And the link was to the Republican National Committee's site. He just linked what the Republicans were saying. He wasn't actually going out there and finding anybody that had done any objective analysis. What he was doing is spinning the propaganda. The same propaganda that he gets mad for Michael Moore spitting. And yes, Moore's film is laced with propaganda. Get over it. The advertisements that we are going to see on TV for both candidates are going to be laced with propaganda. Get over it. There are truths inside of Michael Moore's film. There also is some spin. Are you surprised? You shouldn't be. No, what Moore's doing isn't verbatim, and it's been bent. And we'll go through some things in which the current administration bends the truth as well. There's one example I've got for you today of some ridiculously twisted truth that they're out there spouting. But we'll talk about that. Let's go back to the Drudge Report for a minute. I was just shocked that it was the RNC mouthpiece yesterday. All they did is link right to the Republican National Committee and say everything that the Republican National Committee was saying about Edwards. The weird thing was is he also did not, however, link the Democrat site to say what the Democrats were doing about Edwards. No! You know what he did link, however? He did, however, link one piece where Kerry's stepson was questioning Edwards' credentials during the Democratic primaries. Huh. They also quoted another article about Kerry and the quote that I'm sure you've heard, I didn't. I don't even know if John Edwards is out of diapers when I get back from Vietnam. Those were the two statements that Drudge was also linking. What? No, this isn't fair, objective, or, as that one news organization says, fair and balanced. This was nothing more than Republican spin on the Drudge Report website. But if you spend enough time on the Drudge Report, you should know that's where he operates from, that that is his bias. Just as all of you on the right side of the aisle can admit that the New York Times also does have a liberal bias. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. The New York Times and the LA Times absolutely have a liberal bias. The Post, a little bit more. Washington Post, a little bit more liberal. Washington Times, a little bit more conservative. Yeah, that's how they come out. Some of the reporting, very objective. Some of the reporting, not so objective. We can argue about those individual reporters. But systemic, I don't necessarily buy into the fact that the newsrooms are tainting the whole of the news reporting one way or another. But I just found it shocking that on the website that so often complains about media bias and liberal media and media spin, we find nothing more than all of the information contained about Senator John Edwards coming from the Republicans. Nothing from the Dems. How's that for spin? Do you like that one? I thought that was rather interesting. There are a couple of other things that ran across my desk looking again at how Edwards was received, because that was basically my spectator sport yesterday after I got off the air with you. Spent a lot of time watching and seeing how Edwards was received. And, of course, the Chris credentials and how he made his money and everything else did come into question. One of the things that I found on WorldNet Daily, a very conservative organization and website, one of the things they cited was a study that basically Edwards had used to throw up the theory that doctors, based on certain birthing techniques and some other things they have done inside of birthing, they have done wrong, that pretty much maybe they cause cerebral palsy inside of some young kids. And he won a huge award. I think it was the largest award inside of either North or South Carolina at that time, awarded by a jury to an individual wronged through a doctor or hospital at the time. And this was, I think, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, somewhere in there. And then WorldNet Daily brings out a brand new study in 2003 that says that information was wrong. And somehow, Mr. Edwards should have known that so many years ago that this study was going to appear in 2003 and refute the actual premise of his argument. I'm sorry, that's a little twisted. That shouldn't really have happened. But they're going to spend some time attacking his credentials, and there are some holes and some stuff that he has done, and there are some questions in, but there are some questions in absolutely everything that people have done on one side or another. So I keep watching the Edwards reaction in the media, and there was one specific thing that I noticed that almost immediately after the announcement was made, there was a brand new advertisement out there for George Bush. And it was talking about John Kerry and John McCain. And the idea of pushing McCain up in the top of mind awareness, and basically we're trying to remind us that John McCain was supposedly John Kerry's first choice at running mate. And now you have Edwards, who is the second choice. You know, I think we've got the audio from one of the McCain ads, one of them that came out yesterday, and we're going to go ahead and take a minute and play that for you so that you can hear some of the audio that was released yesterday by the George Bush, Dick Cheney re-election campaign featuring John McCain.
It's a big thing, this war. It's a fight between right and wrong, good and evil. And should our enemies acquire for their arsenal the chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons they seek, this war will become an even bigger thing. It will become a fight for our survival. America is under attack by depraved enemies who oppose our every interest and hate every value we hold dear. It is the great test of our generation, and he has led with great moral clarity and firm resolve. He has not wavered. He has not flinched from the hard choices. He was determined and remains determined to make this world a better, safer, freer place. He deserves not only our support, but our admiration. That's why I am honored to introduce to you the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
That's fairly effective message. They pull John McCain out and have him praise Bush, and there's another one that's running as well that talks about McCain and how Kerry was the first choice for Bush. And let's look at what the media did with that yesterday on CNN Live. Their White House correspondent, Suzanne Malave, I don't know how to pronounce the last name, basically she bought into the GOP opinion of the events. She said inside of her report, quote, he's Kerry or was Kerry's first pick, talking about John McCain, and he was courted to be part of a bipartisan ticket, and he rejected that invitation. And shortly afterwards appeared with President Bush, campaigning with him just a couple of weeks ago, which is where I believe that last ad was pulled from. That's what she said. And then later on, she goes on within her script, they play some video, and then she says, quote, shortly after, McCain rejected Kerry's overtures to be his running mate. Now, here's the interesting part about that. That was on CNN, of course, that liberal news organization. And the information went further. In fact, on Fox News Channel, Molly Hennenberg reported that McCain was Kerry's first choice and that McCain said no. On Fox News Channel's Fox News Live, she said Bush-Cheney 04 campaign has unveiled a new ad that shows President Bush with Arizona Senator John McCain. The ad is called First Choice because McCain reportedly was Kerry's first choice for the vice presidential slot. Shortly after John McCain said no to a Kerry McCain ticket. He appeared with President Bush at Fort Lewis, Washington, and she goes on from there. Now, the strange thing is no one on the media, including on the Fox Morning Show, Fox and Friends, the co-host, Steve Ducey, I believe it is, actually said the same basic thing. He said, quote, John Kerry's first choice for vice presidential running mate was John McCain. And then he actually said, oh, the show's Kerry is a flip-flopper. He wanted McCain, didn't get McCain, and wound up with Edwards. Now, this is very important because if they would have actually done the search on the Internet or just gone to the Associated Press or any number of other news reports, they would find out that way back in June, John McCain's very own chief of staff, Mark Salter, yes, John McCain's very own chief of staff, Mark Salter, said, quote, Senator McCain categorically states that he has not been offered the vice presidential nominee by anyone. That's important. That the McCain chief of staff says that Senator McCain denies that he has ever been offered the vice presidential nomination by anybody. But CNN and Fox News on two occasions said that McCain was Kerry's first choice. He wasn't. MSNBC was the one organization that I found that actually got it right. On MSNBC News Live, Nora O'Donnell, the political correspondent, along with Chris Jansing, who was there, and another individual, did say the Republicans were claiming Senator Kerry's first choice was vice president. And now the number one choice, of course, for John Kerry is Edwards. The Republicans are saying that John Kerry's first choice was going to be John McCain. That's how they were saying it, which is an accurate portrayal of the news. The Republicans are saying that McCain was the first choice. The offer was never made. So the ad that says McCain was Kerry's first choice is wrong. Flat out wrong. Doesn't jibe with absolutely any of the news. But that's not it. I found even one more example of Fox News doing a little bit of conservative spin as well. I know we hear all this stuff about the liberal spin inside the media, so it's kind of fun for me at times when I see the conservative spin to point that out to you. But I want to see what you think, 303-382-1150, about spin and the Kerry Edwards ticket and what you're seeing on the news. 303-382-1150, I'm going to get to Steve and Don, and hopefully your phone calls. Right after this, I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Rush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan's Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. Take it from me, stress can make you lose your hair. I don't know this because I'm a stylist. I know it because I'm a small business owner. Fortunately, I also know which products promote healthy growth in both hair and business.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. To learn more about how Jonathan relies on the Open Network, go to open.americanexpress.com.
Hello from Athens, Greece. Leave it to Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels to create the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. Go to choicehotels.com to learn how to enter, and you can win a trip to Greece. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Choice Hotels. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
I'm having a hot flash.
Hey, girlfriend, this is Evelinda Ehrman and Judy Schwartz from Style Matters Live. You can win a free pair of tickets to join us to see the hysterical show Menopause the Musical, July 13th, 8 p.m. at the Denver Civic Theater.
Here's what you do. Email stylematters at knrcradio.com or write us at 1201 18th Street, Suite 220, Denver 80202, and tell us what you love or hate about menopause. Deadline is July 9th.
Join us for Menopause the Musical, the hilarious celebration of women and the change.
I'm Garrett Glazer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks in the green today. The Dow up 36 points. The NASDAQ up almost 4. Gas prices continue to go down. The national average for regular unleaded down to $1.89.5 a gallon. GM and Ford have sweetened their incentives to lure buyers into car showrooms, both of those automakers suffering a double-digit drop in June sales. Some quarterly earnings reports due after the close today from aluminum giant Alcoa. Estimates are for 48 cents a share, and also look for Yahoo, the street looking for 8 cents a share. Biotech name Genentech also reports with estimates on the street at 19 cents. A sex discrimination trial of Wall Street brokerage Morgan Stanley delayed until later this week when the company will face claims it denied women promotions and permitted sexual harassment to occur. Once again, the Dow up 34 points at this hour and the NASDAQ up 8. I'm Garrett Glazer, CNBC Business Radio.
And now with weather on the hour, here's meteorologist Jenna Moran.
Thanks so much, Tom. It looks like the jet stream will usher in temperatures way below normal. Clouds will be with us all this week. No sunshine is expected for quite some time. Also, heavy wind advisories will be in effect with a possibility for downed trees and power lines. But there is good news on the way.
What's that, Jenna?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
When I get one of my headaches, every minute of that pounding, throbbing pain is a minute too long. So when I take something, I want to make sure I choose the one that will get rid of that tough pain faster.
The moment of choice. Tylenol or Advil for faster headache relief. Truth is, Advil liquid gels rush relief to your headache faster than Tylenol. And Advil relief is stronger, better relief too.
Headache's gone already. Glad I chose Advil.
For faster headache relief, advance to Advil relief.
She's the Rush alternative.
Did you talk about something else?
And she's not on medication.
Thank you.
Enid Goldstein, noon till 3, exclusively on AM 1150, KNRC. Now, another long set of uninterrupted talk. Here's Enid Goldstein.
126 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein, talking a little bit about the coverage of how John Edwards was received in the media. And there was just, I don't know, a little bit of laziness, I think, yesterday that nobody bothered to really pick up some of the information. Some of the way that the Bush, new Bush ad was characterized was pretty much flat out wrong. They're characterizing John McCain as being the first choice of the Kerry camp, and he wasn't. Yeah, it was discussed. But he was never offered the job and never got the chance to reject it. And that's the issue. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. Let's go to the calls and talk to Steve in Louisville, and he wants to talk about liberal spin in the media. Steve, how are you doing today?
Hi, Bill. I'll give you three examples of liberal bias.
Well, I didn't say there aren't any examples of it. I never said there aren't any examples of it.
Oh, no. I mean,
look right ahead.
These are horrible examples in the last 2 weeks from the Denver Post.
Okay.
The first one is when Vladimir Putin and the Russian intelligence said that Iraq had planned attacks on the United States prior to the invasion of Iraq. That was in the Denver Post, in the Rocky Mountain News, totally excluded in the Denver Post. The second one occurred on Monday. The Senate Intelligence Commission said that CIA had received information about the weapons programs being discontinued in Iraq, and it wasn't passed along to the president, and also said that the president did not cook any information up on that. That was a bold headline article in the Rocky Mountain News, totally excluded in the Denver Post. The third is today. There is not one message in the Denver Post, either from John Aloysius Farrell, their analyst, or the New York Times article about Edwards, or the editorial and the editorial page that tells anything about Edwards being one of the most liberal Democrats in the Senate, or that he's a protectionist. If you wanted to find that information out, you had to read the Rocky Mountain News. Constantly, the Denver Post uses liberal PAC stories that are supplied to them with several of the reporters, including Theo Stein and Mike Sorogin. Susan Green has in the past, in the last election between Allard and Strickland, she just destroyed Allard and praised Strickland.
That was, and I remember that one, and that was one of those. And again, I look at, you know, the individual reporters, and you're absolutely right. The Denver Post leans more liberal, and the Rocky Mountain News leans more conservative. Now, the one with the Intelligence Commission, I think you're absolutely right. That should have been absolutely in the paper. The Putin and the Russian angle, for me, I think it's something that people that are on the conservative side of the aisle put a whole hell of a lot more of weight into that statement than anybody else. Because, I mean, if you leave it, even if you listen to Jimmy Lakey this morning, Mike Miles was on, and Mike Miles worked in the intelligence community and said that it didn't matter what national leader came out and said anything inside of the U.S. Intelligence Committee, if they can't verify what that leader says, it doesn't matter. So, you know, the idea that the Jordanian ruler says, well, we know where the weapons of mass destruction were moved to, the Intelligence Committee would look at that and see if they can verify it. And the same thing with the Russian response. When Putin said that, the one thing that we were able to verify inside of that story, though, was that State Department, Justice Department, CIA, FBI have no record of ever getting any information like that from the Russians. And we also have to couch this with the idea that this threat, you know, the time, and again, we are ramping up for war. We're talking about Saddam Hussein being a threat. He's involved in terrorism. He's going to give the terrorists their weapons. Russia at that time has this information that Saddam is planning an attack, and it is so devastating that it's not enough for Putin to change his stance. So how devastating is this information? If it is so important that Putin knows that Iraq is going to be a terrorist nation and is going to go out there and attack the U.S., at the time in which we are making that argument, that is exactly what they're going to do. Russia looks at the information and goes, we're still going to oppose you. So I look at that and think there's not a hell of a lot of weight behind what Putin is saying, because their actions don't belay that there was a lot of information, a lot of weight behind it, and neither does our reactions. We didn't receive anything from them according to our records. And then again, if it's one nation saying something, unless the U.S. intelligence community can verify that from another external source or internal source, it doesn't mean anything.
Fine. But news is news. Report it. And then you can come back and say this. And you can even say it in the news report. But when you omit something deliberately because of something that would favor one candidate over another, you are politically biased, and that's exactly what the Denver Post is. There's no question about it. You can read it day after day and see their spin.
I would say that of the two papers, that Denver Post is more liberal and the Rocky is more conservative. I would say yes, just like the New York Times is more liberal, the LA Times is more liberal, Washington Times is more conservative. I think, you know, there are all those outlets out there, and I'm hoping that people like you and I, Steve, can at least read those. I know that when I'm picking up the Denver Post, I'm going to hear the way that it's written. More times than not, I think that, you know, and individual reporters, some are better than others, but there are reporters out there that you absolutely can see the bias. And that I would lay at the feet of the reporters and a little bit on the editors as well.
I lay it on the editors. They are not just liberal, left to center. These people are advocates. And that's just the
I don't
way
know if I'd
is.
Go that far.
I say they're advocates. I mean, you can
okay.
watch it day after day.
Yeah, we can look at it and we can have different opinions about it. Then would you also say that, you know, Matt Drudge on the other side would be an advocate for the conservative side of the aisle?
Drudge is an internet guy.
I know, but
I read his stuff, and he's there's probably very few people even bother, even know about the site that he has.
It's one of the major sites out there, and when they actually recent polls based on where people get their information, strangely enough, inside of the internet, the Drudge Report was one of the top one or two places, and of all the places people are getting their information, the internet was right up there with TV news, radio news, and newspapers. It really was competing about on the same level. So I look at it and say, you know, there are places like the Drudge Report now that do have to be viewed under the same scrutiny. They should be viewed. Same thing, WorldNet Daily, Newsmax. You can go to places like Yellow Times. You can go to Reason. You can go to a bunch of other places, BuzzFlash, that are absolutely left of center. But there are just as many out there, you know, websites that are right of center, and I think they also have to enter into the debate.
Yeah, they do, except for one thing.
Yeah.
You expect mainstream media papers like the Denver Post, the Rocky Mountain News, New York Times, Washington Post, L.A. Times, you expect good reporting. Report, and that's all I ask.
Now, I can see that. The expectation of good reporting, absolutely. The expectation that inside of the papers that they don't, you know, basically have some of their own agenda. I look at that and think that, unfortunately, it's a little naive on our part as, you know, citizens, because I don't think there's ever been a time in this country in which we had papers that were objective. I think it's very difficult to go back and find any time in which our media system was completely and totally objective. I mean, we'd love to believe that it is, but we can go back. I mean, you can go to William Randolph Hearst. You can go through a whole list of people and characters in which the media was not objective in any way, shape, or form. So now that we hold them up to this, you know, objective standard, we never had it before. I think that we're expecting a little bit much. And unfortunately, I honestly think reporters and the media in general have gotten a little bit lazy over the last 20 years. I think that our standards have been lower.
Yes, well, I agree with you.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, I appreciate the phone call, but you're absolutely right. I do agree. The Denver Post, absolutely more liberal, and you're right. The examples that you gave me, I will side with you and say, yes, that to me does show that there is a bias. And I think there are biases that exist on the other side as well. And Fox News goes out there and, for my money, does as much bias on the other side of the aisle as with anything else. But, Steve, I appreciate the phone call. It's good to talk to you. I'm going to jump to Don in Denver real quickly because he's been hanging on. Let's see if we can get to what other calls. I know that we got Tim McLaughlin's news coming up real quickly. Don, how are you doing today?
I'm doing cool, Bill.
Good, man.
I was reflecting on our conversation yesterday,
yeah.
And I was looking at the news last night,
yeah.
And on CNN, and I seen Dan Quayle talking about the choice of Edwards onto the ticket,
yeah,
as the VP. And he said some things it wasn't surprising to me, but it just coming from Dan Quayle, you know, I will admit,
yeah,
that he is smarter than Bush, Bush too, at least. But it all goes back to charisma in politics and the shaping of politicians and how the news media shapes politicians and how they shape our perception of the politician. And notice, you know, we talked about the issues and stuff. The issues,
yeah,
are not at the forefront. It's whether a person looks presidential or talks presidential. And I think it goes all the way back to Kennedy and Nixon and that campaign in 1960, because the television played a big role on who was going to be president. You know, and of course, when you go back to that debate against Nixon and Kennedy, Kennedy looked presidential and Nixon was sweating and stuttering and, you know, and he didn't look presidential. And so you come up to today and they use the same tricks in the media to elect who they want to elect. And whether it's the newspapers or the so-called liberal media, the same people control these interests, like General Electric, for instance. They own NBC. They also are one of the biggest defense contractors in this country. You know, so they're reporting on the war and they're making money from the war at the same time. And so, you know, we have to be more sophisticated as voters in this country to know how politics works.
Yeah, I think you're right. We do need to be more sophisticated as how we understand how politics works. And I think you're right, absolutely, that the media can shape the perception, because I always go back to Marshall McLuhan, and he said that very eloquently, that mass media is very effective at telling you what to think about, but very ineffective at telling you what to think. So they can shape the debate that way. And I think you're absolutely right that the charisma and politics, unfortunately, have blended so well that we do make these decisions based on looks and based on who we think is going to be, you know, whoever the worst person is, because, you know, we talk about our campaigns now, and it basically is a run to see, you know, who is the worst person. It's always that my opponent is this evil, nasty person who wants to take your children, boil them up, and have them for dinner the next night. I mean, that's really what we have to attack our opponents based on that, not based on issues. And I almost call it the MTVization of politics, because in my mind, MTV was one of the worst things that ever happened to music, because all of a sudden now you had to look like a musician. And, you know, Warren Haynes, phenomenal guitar player. If it was 25 years ago, Warren Haynes would be viewed as the next Eric Clapton. But because he looks like David Crosby's bastard son, he ends up not getting any airplay. And it's hard, man. I don't know. I don't know if there are any solutions.
It is, man. But, you know, I think people, man, we need to really focus on these that, you know, Bush's agenda and his policies and Kerry's policies. I was listening to Ralph Nader yesterday.
Yeah.
I voted for Ralph Nader in 2000, and I might vote for Ralph Nader again because I don't like Bush or Kerry.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I voted for Nader, people say, oh, you threw away your vote, or you voted for Bush and you just wasted your vote. No, I voted on the person that I agree with his policies, you know, and I studied his policies. And when you study and listen to Ralph Nader, he makes more sense than almost anybody in the political arena, and that's why they're not letting people like him into the debates, because they know if they put him on stage with Bush and Kerry, that he would blow both of them away, and that it might change some people's minds. So, you know, the powers that be that really control things, they want to, you know, wrap this generic politician up and have us just swallow it.
Well, so I think they would look at the idea that keeping Nader out of the debates prevents Nader from shaping the debate himself. He prevents some of the issues that Nader brings to the table to being discussed. So I think I can agree with you on the manipulation on that fact. Although I think you give the media way too much credit as far as being organized and trying to choose and shape policies. I mean, I've been in newsrooms and I've worked with news people. They're not that organized. They're not organized at all as far as making sure that they're all going to say one thing or all going to purport one type of a story. One type of an idea. Man, if you see their desks, you wouldn't believe that they were actually organized well enough to shape what this country is doing. But, Don, I appreciate the phone call. Have a great day. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. 138, I'm running a touch late. We're going to talk to Joe in Westminster and hopefully you after this. We can talk liberal media bias. We can talk conservative media bias. We can talk about Edwards. Basically, the genesis of this is just seeing how some of the news about Edwards' announcement was shaped yesterday. And I was surprised to where and how I was receiving the spin. I've got a great example of it, but it had to do with financial news reporting. A spin about John Edwards as the VP in financial news? I'll tell you about that after this. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC. And now time to go to the newsroom to the man that we say is constantly spinning, but that's only because he sits in his chair and spins himself round and round and round until he pukes. We wish you would stop that because the trash can smells, but, you know, whatever floats your boat. You know,
I can't afford e-liches.
Exactly.
<know?
laughs> He sits there and he keeps saying, hey, Twister! And, you know, I wish you would stop having the traffic people, though, come over and have to give you extra pushes to go around and around. You know, you're taking advantage of them.
That's it.
Right.
Well, you know.
What's going on in news, Tim?
Well, it's mostly sunny and 88 degrees right now. The suspect in the Mount Evans assault has been shot. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
State Patrol and emergency equipment still cleaning up an overturned vehicle accident on E-470 at 96th Avenue, so count on some slowing in there. Freeway system a little closer to town, moving along in fairly good shape. Denver police pushed a stall out of the way southbound I-25 at Logan in the last 5 minutes, so traffic there looking a lot better. Eastbound Hamden at Tamarack, watch for an accident. Also have an accident with injuries at 36th and Quebec, and so a lot of emergency equipment on the scene taking care of that. Chevron has the information this time. If you think all gasolines are alike, well, think again. Many can leave harmful deposits on vital engine parts, but Chevron with Techron helps clean up the deposits and helps your car perform like it should. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
John Morris, who's wanted in connection with the assault of a woman in Clear Creek County, is in critical condition in Texas after being shot by a deputy. Morris refused to drop a shotgun after being confronted by the deputy at a storage facility near San Antonio. Morris is wanted in connection with the assault and robbery of a woman who was riding her bike near Echo Lake Lodge. This report brought to you by Denver Center's Triple Espresso. The investigation of the fire at the Adams County apartment complex has now shifted to the laboratory. Investigators are examining evidence collected from the scene of Sunday's fire that displaced some 40 residents of that complex. It may be days or weeks before the results are available from the lab. A woman who was allegedly running a puppy mill in Larimer County has apparently disappeared. The County Humane Society found 84 abandoned Labrador retrievers at a home near Berthoud. 54 of the dogs had to be euthanized. The remaining 30 are recovering. It's hoped that some of those survivors can eventually be adopted. What did three guys do in 4 minutes that got them barred from showbiz for life? See Triple Espresso, a comedy for the whole family. Tickets at denvercenter.org or 893-4100. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:41.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hello, I hear them trucks coming. They're coming round the bend. I ain't seen so many trucks since I don't know when.
MedVet Chrysler Jeep Wheat Ridge and MedVet Chrysler Jeep Dodge Castle Rock are overstocked.
with Dodge Ram trucks, Jeep Grand Cherokees, and more. Get discounts up to $9,000 or make no payments until 2005 with approved credit. See MedVet for details. You don't have to settle for a hail-damaged vehicle to get big discounts. Come to the Big Gun MedVet Chrysler Jeep Dodge Truck Center on the I-25 corridor, depart the 181 ramp Castle Rock, or on I-70 in Wheatridge, exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex. Join us at the Douglas County Fair and Rodeo July 30th through August 8th.
From Wyoming to New Mexico, everybody said, if you want a great deal, go to MedVet.
Short on time? Buy online at MedVet.com.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Mostly sunny skies through the afternoon. It'll become mostly cloudy tonight. Some isolated thunderstorms, then partly cloudy after midnight. Around 60 for tonight's temperature. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Will top out around 90 degrees. Sunny skies now and 88. KNRC news time is 1:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, you're never going to believe this. Capital Access Mortgage just approved Jim and me for a zero-down, interest-only mortgage loan on the purchase price of our new home.
You're kidding. You just filed bankruptcy 2 months ago, and you didn't have to put any money down?
That's right. Capital Access Mortgage dispelled the myth that we'd have to wait 3 years to restart our financial future.
All right, what's the catch? You got to be paying an astronomical interest rate. I mean, what is it, like 12%?
No. Capital Access Mortgage was able to get us an overall blended rate below 7%. I was amazed. Our house payment will be less than we're paying to rent the home we're in now.
Wow. Well, you know, we've never even filed bankruptcy, but the lender our realtor referred us to, he turned us down for a loan. You think that Capital Access Mortgage can help us?
Absolutely. As far as I'm concerned, Capital Access Mortgage works miracles.
Restart your financial future today. Call 303-691-0691. Capital Access Mortgage, 303-691-0691. An outstanding member of the Better Business Bureau.
Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC. Should you buy or sell those stocks on Monday? Find out Sunday afternoons at noon with Ron Asana of CNBC. The name in business. Exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. AM 1150 KNRC.
I'll tell you what. If the Bush administration issued the Ten Commandments, I guarantee you you'd find 635 loopholes in the middle of them.
I'm going to carry this out because the people understand that they share, we share values, that they understand, they know me well. And I believe that I did well in the South last time. I'm going to do well in the South this time.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:46 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Thank Joe Anderson and Jordan Lyles for making sure that everything runs well today. I don't nearly sound as intelligent if they're not here helping me out. So I got to thank them because they do a lot of work behind the scenes and never get a lot of credit for it. We're talking with you today about John Kerry and John Edwards and how the media looked at this announcement yesterday. I thought it was surprising that on CNN... I wasn't so surprised it happened on Fox News, but on CNN, they basically talked about John Kerry having his second choice on the ticket because he was rejected by John McCain. Now, strangely enough, if they would have just looked at the Associated Press and they reported back in June that McCain's very own chief of staff said, quote, Senator McCain categorically states he's not been offered the vice presidency by anybody. The offer was never made. He couldn't reject anything that wasn't made. I guess I could reject. I guess I will now publicly reject all of those advances by Elle McPherson and Cindy Crawford and publicly just say I'm not interested and I'm not going to have sex with you. Yeah, well, they're not offering. Does that mean I can actually reject the offers? I am no longer going to have sex with Jennifer Lopez. I'm now deciding. Joe Henderson is saying, though, however, if the offer comes in, he's more than happy to accept. And he is free both Saturday and Sunday night, just in case we're looking at scheduling conflicts. So just in case, you can call us and we can work that one out. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm going to go to Joe in Westminster. He helped through the break. Joe, thanks a lot for hanging on. I know it's a long break for you. How are you today?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks, Bill. No problem. Yeah, I wanted to respond to this line that the right wing and I guess the media is following up on that, you know, well, Edwards is Kerry's second choice, you know, and he was turned down by McCain. My response is, so what? I mean, even if that's true, you know, the discourse in this country has devolved so far that it's almost like a bunch of kids now. Well, you know, he wasn't your first choice.
That is good.
If Kerry was willing to go outside of party lines to, you know, offer the job to the man he thought was most qualified, I think that's a credit to him. Why is that a knock on him?
Yeah, that is weird, and it's weird at how it's being portrayed, and I keep looking back and saying that there's part of me, Joe, that is so excited about this political season because as a spectator sport, I think it's going to be fascinating. The problem is that you and I have to actually get on the field and play, and that's when we're going to get all covered with dirt, and that's what I'm really worried about is that to watch what we're going to be doing will be fascinating because I think that we're going to reach a level of really personal insults and, you know, spin and lies that we've never had in probably the last 20 or 30 years in presidential elections. I mean, maybe even further than that, that it's going to be a long time till we have something that's going to be this dirty and this nasty. But then again, we keep looking at it and kind of, I keep thinking that, man, but you and I are involved in it. And you're right that the discourse has just basically denigrated down to a level that is embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what kind of an adult criticism is that? Well, you know, you pick somebody. You know, I mean, Republicans would have to admit McCain was a good, you know, would make a good candidate. So they're actually knocking Kerry for supposedly making overtures to a good candidate. And then further, you know, farther on, this whole thing about, well, Edwards, you know, Kerry is the most liberal senator in you know, Congress. And Edwards is the fourth. You know, they spew this stuff out like it's some scientific test, you know, like the iron content of soil or something.
Yeah.
That's
good.
I mean, does every single issue have a verified liberal and conservative, you know, side to it that everybody agrees, oh, that's liberal, that's conservative? You know, it's so
Yeah, and the weird thing that also that I get into is the idea, and it's been explored a little bit, the idea that basically, these elected officials are going there to represent us, but then when we look at their voting record, it must be only their personal opinions. That there's no way that John Kerry or John Edwards or, you know, Brill Frist or Joe Biden or anybody else that you can lay down and you can talk about, that there's no way that any one of them said, you know what? I'm not necessarily personally in favor of this idea, but I am going to go ahead and support it for X, Y, or Z reason. And you look at that and you keep thinking that it's weird that we always talk about this being a representative government, but then we assume that these are autonomous individuals that are running around Washington, and it simply doesn't work that way.
Right, and then another thing the right wing is doing, and unfortunately Doug Kellett is doing this too, I mean, they're linking, you know, when they talk about, oh, you know, Edwards is the fourth most liberal senator, then they say, and he's even to the left of Hillary Clinton and Ted Kennedy. And they keep repeating that, Hillary Clinton and Ted Kennedy, like, you know, this mantra.
Yeah.
You know, because supposedly, you know, we're not supposed to think anywhere beyond the level of, oh, Hillary Clinton, oh my gosh, I can't vote for him. He's more liberal than Hillary Clinton, whatever that means.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's funny, too, that those are the two bellwethers, were the Ted Kennedy and Hillary Clinton. And the reason that, and again, I think that if you're looking at that as an argument being a weak one, because it's not going to persuade anybody that is on the Democratic side of the aisle, but it will persuade people that are on the Republican side of the aisle, but they weren't going to vote anyway for Kerry. So.
Yeah, but I suppose it motivates, you know, they're just, it's all about this playing to your base, which I find really not a healthy thing. And it's like attaching electrodes to a rat, you know, Hillary Clinton, shock of him going out and voting against, you know, the Democrats. So.
Exactly. And I even think Bill Maher has talked a little bit about it, the idea that inside of focus groups that we've gone so far in our political, though, in our political massaging of messages and such, that basically what they've done is they have, like you say, hooked up individuals to electrodes, and they say things like, I'm for family values, and then, you know, people start pushing the buttons going, oh yeah, family values, like that, yep, gotta like that, and whether or not the message is actually there, they're looking for those buzzwords,
right.
And it's weird. It's just weird that that's where we're going, and in fact, John, Joe, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks a lot for giving me a ring. I've got another one for you, another little bit of spin, conservative spin, that I thought was a little bit shocking that I ran into yesterday. It's something that comes from Fox News Channel, and it's a financial program. But inside of the Fox News Channel and this financial program, there's a little bit of political spin going on. I'll tell you what that is right after this. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. If you want to talk about Edwards and the media coverage of his announcement and some of the ways that it was reported, and I'll also tell you how Fox News turned a financial report into an anti-democratic platform. All that's next. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Make sure your car is ready for safe summer driving with NAPA Trust Stop Brake Pads. Starting as low as $7.99, you'll get safe, reliable braking at a competitive price. NAPA, get the good stuff.
Ah, a spa.
Mountain biking.
I'd like to shop till I drop, then sit down for a great meal, then maybe go dancing.
Horseback riding. No. Rafting. No. Riding an alpine slide. No.
I'd love to get in a few rounds of amazing golf.
Breckenridge, making perfect quick getaway. Stuck to the mountains close to home. Breckenridge offers over 150 things to do and see this summer. So plan to spend the weekend. Call today for competitive rates and tailored vacation. Go to GoBreckNow.com.
Hi, it's John Rizzi, editor of Colorado Avid Golfer magazine. Do you love golf as much as I do? If so, join me and physical golf's Neil Walkadoff for On the Tee every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on 1150 KNRC. We'll talk about how to play, where to play, and what to play. We'll go inside the tour, across the state, and around the country, bringing in guests from the world of golf. And we'll take your calls, too, even give you a shot at winning something. So join our twosome every Saturday morning at 8 on the Tee at 1150 KNRC.
Office Max has gifts that work, so you have no reason to give gifts thought of as lame from this holiday season. Cutting edge technology, these are gifts of mirth. Office Max has gifts folks want, give the gifts that work.
Get an HP 750 all-in-one for $149.99 and receive a $25 Office Max gift card free by mail. Office Max. Max means more. See store for details.
We call it Drive Talking. Go to our website at knrcradio.com and look for details on how you can get a free KNRC travel coffee mug. That'll help on those morning commutes, and it may stop those stupid hot coffee spill lawsuits. There are few things that are free these days, but you'll find them at knrcradio.com. Go there, sign up, and the Drive Talking coffee mug will be yours. You can even get unlimited coffee refills in your fabulous new KNRC coffee mug at Sugar Beet Cafe. It's just another way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Philip. I work in IT. You think you know what it's like sitting in traffic at I-25 in Hampton with the AC broken and my Doug Kellett show getting walked all over by some punk kid subwoofer.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC. Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
What distinguishes John Edwards is that he's not an academic, he's not a politician, he speaks from the heart.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:56 here on AM 1150 KNRC, the cult pumping us through the last few minutes of this hour. Thanks, Jordan. I always love the cult. Never got enough respect. One of those bands that kind of faded out of a existence. Well, you know, the band had a little bit of a personal problems as well. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I want to remind you that KNRC is proud to present the Denver Botanic Gardens 2004 Summer Concert Series. The gardens are located at 1005 York Street. The concerts start right around 7 o'clock, and the gates will open at 6. For more information, you can go to botanicgardens.org, easy for me to say, or call 720-865-3500, 720-865-3500. On Friday the 16th, 16th, Pancho Sanchez is going to be there. Sunday the 18th, the Turtles will be there. Sean Colvin appears Friday, July 23rd. And the Indigo Girls are going to spend July 28th and 29th out at the Denver Botanic Gardens. So go out and check them out. Denver or botanicgardens.org is the way that you can get more information about that. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I've got a Fox News spin for you that you're not going to believe because they actually inserted politics into their financial report. But first, I want to get to Jim on a cell phone. I don't want to waste more of his minutes. Jim, how are you doing today?
Very good, thanks.
Good. What's on your mind?
The Republican Party has nothing to run on. Typically, candidates would run on records of achievement, of accomplishment. Bush has a $500 billion deficit, almost 900 troops killed, 24,000 wounded and evacuated out of Iraq. He's calling up people that served in Vietnam to fill the ranks of the military. This country is more polarized than ever before, and all the Republicans can say is, Kerry's is the most liberal, Edwards is the fourth most liberal. So what? The Republican Party is built on one thing. If it's a Democratic president, you vote no. If it's a Republican president, you vote yes. A monkey could do that job.
Yeah, or
and
one of those chickens.
And in this country, difference of opinions are worth their weight in gold. Compromise is what politics is all about. If Kerry has been a senator for 19 years, he's changed his views on issues because the dynamics of those issues have changed over 19 years. Give the guy a break that he can actually think for himself.
I know, and one of the things you brought up there about the troops, that's one of the things that I think we've been very disingenuous about, because for me, the idea that we're now calling up these troops, what really gets to me is the idea that Bush isn't coming clean with us and never really telling me how much that this is really going to cost as far as the war. He's never come up and said, this is what our total budget is going to be. In fact, right now, we're not even paying for the war out of the military budget. We're paying it out of supplemental spending. And that is a tremendous problem. And he wasn't even honest as far as the number of troops that we are going to commit. And that's how we're now going ahead and having to recall these guys because he didn't want to approve an expansion of the troops a couple of years ago. Why? It would have cost us $10 billion and would have had to come out of the military budget. Instead, now he can recall these people, bring it out of a special budget, a supplementary budget, and also run us up into huge deficits through supplementary spending. It's dishonest. It would have been a completely different angle if he would have come out and said, this is what we're going to spend, this is how many troops it's going to take. Jim, thanks for the phone call. I'm back after this. This is KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Williams. Democratic presidential contender John Kerry and his new vice presidential choice are on the campaign trail, telling a rally in Ohio that change is coming to Washington.
You may have also heard that the man I selected is John Edwards of North Carolina. And I want you to know, we think this is a dream ticket.
President Bush, visiting Edwards' home state of North Carolina, responded bluntly when asked about the difference between the senator and Vice President Cheney. Mr. Bush said Cheney can be president. Iraq's prime minister is drawing up plans to impose martial law in some areas of his country. He says violence by rebel forces has to be stopped. And the company behind Hooked on Phonics reading programs has reached a settlement with government regulators who's accused it of selling its customer list to telemarketers. Gateway Learning Corporation had promised not to do that. I'm Brian Williams, NBC News Radio.
If you've been waiting for a sign, it's the banner in your Lincoln Mercury dealer's window, inviting you in right now for the best deals of the year during the one and only clearance sales event at your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Come in now for low financing or big cash back on top of your dealer's best model year-end price on every Lincoln and Mercury car, SUV, and minivan during the one and only clearance at your Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Right now would be a good time to come into Napa Auto Parts, because you can get a Napa 65-month power battery for just $39.99 with exchange. This is the good stuff, manufactured to the highest industry standards. Remember, summer heat is even tougher on your battery than the cold. If your battery isn't getting the job done, get it taken care of now before you hit the road this summer. And at just $39.99, the Napa power battery is definitely the way to go.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 88 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. A suspect in a Colorado assault is in the hospital in Texas after being shot. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The smoke that you see coming up from the area of the airport is actually the result of a grass and structure fire southeast of the main terminal of the airport. It's not on the airport property, according to airport officials. A lot of fire equipment on the scene there, and it is starting to put up quite a bit of smoke, we are told. So that's the cause of all that. A little closer in toward town, E-470 and 96th Avenue, report of an overturned vehicle there. Should have that one out of the way here in just a few minutes. Minor injury accident at 36th in Quebec, rather, and another injury collision in 58th in the Federal. Freeway traffic moving along in pretty good shape at this hour. Xantex Free has the information. It's the most powerful diet pill in America. More weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. Available at stores nationwide or log on to Xantex3.com. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The man wanted in connection with the recent assault and robbery of a woman near Echo Lake Lodge is in critical condition in a Texas hospital. John Morris was shot by a Comal County, Texas deputy who confronted Morris at a storage facility near San Antonio. The deputy asked Morris for ID, but he pulled a shotgun and was shot when he refused to drop the weapon. This report brought to you by Subway. The investigation of a fire at a Thornton apartment complex has shifted from the scene to a laboratory. This from Adams County Sheriff Sergeant Lewis Dixon.
Right now, the evidence that they collected is going to be analyzed and try to determine the type of chemicals and stuff that they found.
That, says Dixon, is a process that could take days or weeks. The fire at the Corona Village Apartments began about 1:30 on Sunday on the third floor and burned its way down, not up. According to the Red Cross, 40 residents were displaced. It was easier to find a job in May in Metro Denver. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports the unemployment rate dropped to 4.7% compared with last year's 6%. The Denver area, not including Boulder County, had about 59,000 and unemployed. In sports, the Colorado Rockies wrap up their three-game series in San Francisco tonight. They hope they can extend their five-game winning streak. Rocks topped the Giants 8-6 last night. Joe Kennedy will be on the mound for the Rockies tonight. Now, for a limited time at participating Subway restaurants, get three of your favorite footlong subs for only $11.99. That's right, three footlong subs for only $11.99 all day, every day. Subway, eat fresh. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 2:04.
We know you're busy running your lives. That's why we'll keep up with what the government is trying to do to you.
What's going on here?
Denver's new generation of talk radio. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Plenty of sunshine and breezy conditions for the afternoon hours, highs in the lower 90s. Variably cloudy tonight, and we will see an isolated thunderstorm perhaps early, then dry weather for the overnight time frame, 64 the low. Plenty of sunshine on Thursday, warm and humid, highs near 90. On Friday, variably cloudy and maybe a few more pop-up late-day storms, highs in the mid-80s. For the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny and 88 now. KNRC news time is 2:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
from AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
6 minutes after two here on AM 1150 KNRC, Bill Thorpe. Having great discussions with Doug Kellett off the air. There are times we have to do more of those on the air, hopefully. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. Sometime this hour, I'm going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Terracotta Warriors Friday, July 16th at 8 o'clock. I'll tell you when you can call in and win those tickets. The performances are going to run from now until July 18th. Seating is going to be about, $30 to $65. There are going to be some performances during the week that you might be able to get tickets as low as $20 to about $55. This is a brand new action musical coming to the Denver area. Basically, it's a chronology of the first emperor's life in China around 221 BC. And talks about the time in when she was coronated and then all the way to his death. And there's all sorts of romance and intrigue, excuse me, and a few other things that cherry coke that I was having gave a surprise return. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'd been telling you last hour a lot about Fox News Channel. And I was surprised yesterday when I was watching a financial report on the Fox News Channel and all of a sudden, politics. All over the place. And this was surprising. I've been telling you about it last hour. I hope you stick with me because we're going to talk about it. Neil Cavuto on the Fox News Channel, he's the vice president of business news, yesterday during Fox News Live, less than an hour or so after Kerry announced that Edwards was his running mate, Neil Cavuto said, quote, "Well, they're calling it the Edwards dip. Good morning, everybody. I'm Neil Cavuto. This is Fox Morning Market Report. Expect stocks to open on the negative this morning, just about 20 seconds or so, as activity begins after a shortened holiday week." He goes on, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, "Anything that looks good for the Democratic ticket usually does not look good for the guys at Wall and Broad. I'm not really casting political aspersions here. One way or another, it's a simple fact. The matter is Wall Street is largely, I stress, a Republican bastion. So anything that makes the Democratic ticket look good, obviously this is deemed to be good news for the Democrats, and here this Kerry Edwards ticket will be bad for Wall Street." The Edwards dip. Really? Neil Cavuto has assumed the stock market is going down because of the announcement of a vice presidential running mate for John Kerry. Now, this is despite the fact that Fox News chairman and CEO Roger Ailes said that our news outlets should not be drawing causal connections between statements by political figures and short-term stock market behavior. Now, by Cavuto saying that this was the Edwards dip, he didn't tell you who said this is the Edwards dip. He said, "Well, they're calling it the Edwards dip." He didn't say who they was. It's Cavuto naming this the Edwards dip. He also, the assertion that this type of political news changes the market is directly counter to what Fox News chairman and CEO says should happen. In fact, Ailes made an announcement because Fox had made a, quote, mistake on July 15th of 2002, when it used a split screen to juxtapose a graphic that was showing market indices with live coverage of President George W. Bush delivering a speech designed to restore investor confidence in the wake of a series of corporate scandals. Ailes said, quote, "It did give a false impression. We should not have done it. If the market goes down 400 points while the president is speaking, it doesn't mean that he drove it down 400 points. There are too many other factors." But yesterday, Fox News vice president and business news reporter Neil Cavuto said, "It's the Edwards dip. It's his fault your stocks are going in the toilet." Great. What do you think about that? 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I'm going to talk to Dave in a cell phone real quickly. Dave, how are you doing today?
Fine.
Good. What's on your mind? What do you want to say about news coverage and the Edwards announcement and the like?
Well, I was listening to the last gentleman that called in, and he made a couple of assertions that I think ought to be checked out. One is that we've had 24,000 injured in Iraq, and I believe the right number is 5,000, which is
I saw a number that was closer to 16,000 the other day, but I'm not able to pull it up right now, so I was looking for that over
another
the news break.
Is, I doubt seriously that the Army is calling up reservists in the Vietnam era, because if you do the math, Vietnam ended in 73. The youngest of those guys would be between 58 and 60 Now, I can assure you the Army doesn't want 50.
Yeah, it'd be anybody that really is of service age and that hasn't completed their, you know, what is it? They sign an 8-year contract, they do their duty, and then they're on the hook for a while. You're absolutely right. That's well thought out. Well thought out. That is. That's a good point.
Those comments are made in, for shock effect, and if they're not at least challenged, they'll continue to become one of those self-fulfilling statistics that they say.
I can see that, but I guess, you know, what I was looking at when Jim called in, basically, you know, I understand where he was going with it. And for me, the idea of dealing with bringing back the troops and having to call them up, I just look at it as, you know, when we've approached the war on terror, that we've been very disingenuous in how we were allocating our resources, that we've never gotten a straight story.
Right.
I mean, there are fair and lending practices. If I go in and I try to buy a car, I try to buy a house, I'm supposed to be told how much I'm going to pay for it. But I have yet to get a bill of sale or even an estimate for pricing from the administration on this war. And I'm sorry, I'm paying for it.
I happen to be 100% in favor of the Iraq war.
Yeah.
I have two sons in the military.
Ooh, man,
so I do have personal deal there. But the reason I'm in favor of it is because I think they're in World War III. They're in the third Islamic Jihad, and if we don't take it to them, they'll take it to us. And so we might as well have a distraction right in the middle of the world for a couple more years to keep them running.
I can see that. I guess I can see where that's going, and the idea of us picking where we want to fight the terrorists, I can see. I just keep looking at it as an economic decision, that if I'm going to spend $160 billion, I want a country that's a little bit more significant in the war on terror than Iraq. I mean, that's just where I'm looking at. If I'm going to spend all my money, I want, you know, like if I'm shopping on the car lot and I want a car, for all the money I'm paying, I think I'm getting a lemon based on Iraq if we're talking about the war on terror. If we're talking about shaping the Middle East and doing other stuff, then there is some argument for Iraq, but we're going to Iraq on the premise of the war on terror. And I just look at it and go, man, I'm buying a two-bit, you know, country involved in the war on terror for a phenomenal price, and it's hampering our ability in this country to go out and actually go after some of the real terrorist countries. And that's the part that gets me.
A lot of, I'm very much of the opinion that a lot of the Islamic terrorists are trying to get a stranglehold on 75% of the world's oil reserves, and I think that we should be spending that money on alternate fuels and electricity. And then we could tell the Arabs to put that oil on their breakfast food for about 10 years because they don't need it anymore.
Now, that would be interesting, Dave. I kind of like that idea that if we could spend some of this money and go after the alternate fuels, because I honestly think if we would cut off our dependence upon the Middle Eastern oil, or at least mitigate it. And petroleum, I've been trying to do some reading about petroleum and some of the raw crude and all of the number of different ways that it is used. I mean, all the different, you know, their clothing and all sorts of netting and ropes and all sorts of other things and fertilizer that we use petroleum in order to develop and to process it into these products and goods and services, that it would be nice to be able to start looking at other alternatives, because I think, you know, you're right that when we get down to where the contact actually exists, where the rubber hits the road, that we're so dependent upon that Middle Eastern oil supply, and they know we are, and so they know that's how they can control us, and that's how they're going to look at fighting us. And the other thing that I don't think people give enough credit to Osama bin Laden for is for him understanding how to fight us. I don't think we spend enough time looking at how Osama bin Laden has shaped his message. He hasn't gone after us like what they've done in Iran, where they say, oh, evil, horrible America, and they're, you know, the way they look at their women and their music, and that's all horrible. Bin Laden was smart enough to attack us on a very focused international policies, us being in Saudi Arabia, our blind support for Israel, as he phrases it, and other things that we do around the world, and he phrases it as we are attacking Muslims. And when he phrases it and looks at our foreign policy and even puts in the idea of Iraq war, where, you know, Iraq basically holds some of the more sacred places inside of the Islamic religion outside of Saudi Arabia, again, you can turn it and you can make it play like the U.S. is coming after the Islamic religion, and you can galvanize some of these disaffected youngsters that unfortunately aren't smart enough to figure out what's going on. So he's been very intelligent about how he's playing the war, and unfortunately I think we're being very unintelligent at going after Iraq and how we're fighting the terrorist war, and that's a rough one. Dave, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks a lot. 303-382-1150 is the phone number, 303-382-1150. ran into a lot of interesting things yesterday, and dovetailing a little bit off of John Edwards. And one of the things that we've been hearing about is the idea that Edwards is a lawyer, and especially that nasty trial lawyer. And he's out there, and he's working, and he's going after those companies, and he's in charge of all those frivolous lawsuits, and he's the reason that your insurance costs are going up, and he's the reason that all of those doctors are leaving the practice. In fact, both President Bush and Vice President Cheney have been completely and totally dishonest about skyrocketing health care costs over the last couple of weeks, in fact. President Bush on Friday, the 2nd of July, President Bush said on Friday, quote, frivolous lawsuits run up the cost of medicine, and that the solutions to the health care problems were stopped in Congress because, quote, the trial lawyers are powerful in the Senate. Dick Cheney also said last week that, quote, medical liability reform is the key. Now, that's important. Cheney is saying this is the key to control the cost of health care. Let's rewind and go over that once more. Vice President Dick Cheney last week said that medical liability reform is the key to controlling the cost of health care. The problem is, if you actually do the research, it's nothing of the sort. They couldn't be further away from the truth if they tried. The Congressional Budget Office says the costs from malpractice lawsuits represent less than 2% of the nation's total health care spending. The costs from malpractice lawsuits represent less than 2% of the nation's total health care spending. If we would eliminate malpractice lawsuits right now, we could only eliminate 2% of the spending on health care. That's not the key to controlling the cost of health care. That wouldn't be anything close to be considering a key to controlling the cost of health care. You can go even further and look at places like the Harvard University School of Public Health. They, quote, did not find a strong relationship between the threat of litigation and medical costs. There was no real threat. The idea that all these malpractice lawsuits were driving up medical costs is untrue. There was a study in the Journal of Health Economics that compared medical costs in states that had limits on lawsuits to those states that did not have limits. Do you know what they found? A fraction of a savings. Less than 0.3% in total savings in health care costs from one state to the next that had limits on the lawsuits for liability. There is no savings. But President Bush and Vice President Cheney both in the previous 7 days have said that these lawsuits are the reason that your medical insurance rates are going up. They're flat out wrong. The Journal of Health Economics goes on to say, quote, there is no statistically significant difference in per capita health care spending between states with and without limits on malpractice. I can go back to the previously cited Congressional Budget Office report, and they say, quote, doctors practice medicine in an expensive way in order to protect themselves in the courthouse. They're saying that we are trying to protect ourselves in the courthouse by practicing medicine in an expensive way, not because of the actual cost. Remember, the cost from the malpractice lawsuits represent less than 2% of the nation's total health care spending. But last week, the vice president said that this medical liability reform is the key to control the cost of health care. We could wipe out those liability lawsuits and malpractice lawsuits right now and only save 2%. That sound like a key to you? Someone came to you and said the key to getting our family budget under control is to eliminate our magazine subscriptions, and you did the numbers, the magazine subscriptions came out to be 2% of your total budget. Does that sound like you'd be getting it under control? No. I wouldn't be getting under control at all. You tried to budget your money at home the way that they're trying to budget our money in Washington, we'd be broke. You and I would be sitting there trying to tell U.S. West, well, I'm sorry, I was trying to control my expenditures, but somehow I didn't do it. Then you have to look at the numbers and figure out you only cut out 2% of your spending. It's not control. Please. Ugh, man, sooner or later, maybe we'll get through all this crap. 303-382-1150. You want to talk about that? I've also got some numbers on the economy that are rather interesting. And a few other items in the news. 303-382-1150. It's 220. I'm Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Rush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Terracotta Warriors, a new action musical. Terracotta Warriors combines extravagant dance and songs with spectacular martial arts in an unprecedented fashion. Adapted from historical accounts of the life of the first emperor of China, Terracotta Warriors is a story of rule by terror, loyalty by force, and love by decree. Fight sequences are intertwined with scenes of romance and betrayal as the power of the realm clashes with human passion. Elaborate costumes and sets come together with incredible surround sound effects and unique orchestral music to immerse the audience in the emotion, the drama, and the battles of the 2nd century B.C. The United States premiere of Terracotta Warriors is now playing at the Buell Theater through July 18th only. Tickets are available at All King Supers, online at denvercenter.org, or call 303-893-4100.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and allow me to introduce you to the number one public golf course in Colorado, as rated by golfers and peers alike. Joining me now to talk about the Ridge at Castle Pines North is manager Daryl Fuston.
Thanks, Doug. You are right. The Ridge at Castle Pines North is consistently rated as the number one public course in Colorado. We have become the venue of choice for corporate and charity events. We are committed to providing the best golfing experience in Colorado.
It is the perfect place for corporate outings and for businessmen and women to choose to entertain their clients. When you want to take that prospective client or client to the perfect course, this is it.
And with our great restaurant, spectacular front range views, along with Troon Golf's Country Club for a Day philosophy, we are the perfect place to bring your clients and to set up corporate golf events.
And you know, we haven't even talked about the course. Once you play the beautiful 18 holes at the Ridge at Castle Pines North, you are sure to come back. Set up a tee time or call for info about your corporate or charity event. 303-688-4301. That's 303-688-4301. The Ridge at Castle Pines, your country club for a day.
Mention you heard this ad on KNRC and receive an additional 20% off.
Hi, I'm Hazel Miller, Colorado's Queen of the Blues, inviting you to groove through summer Wednesday nights at Lakewood Sound's exciting summer concert series. KNRC is a proud sponsor of the 2004 Sound's Exciting Series that features some of Colorado's best artists live under the beautiful summer night sky. The lineup includes Chris Daniels and the Kings, presented by KCUV, Dotsero, Lanny Garrett, and many more. Go to www.lakewood.org or call 303-987-7845 for more information.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. As quarterly earnings reports from some major companies begin to roll in, Wall Street ended a day of sluggish trading in positive territory. The Dow gained 21 points, closing at 10,240. The Nasdaq rose nearly 3 points to 1966. Kenneth Lay, the former CEO of Enron, has been indicted by a federal grand jury in Houston, Texas. The indictment will be unsealed tomorrow, at which time Lay will surrender to authorities. Alcoa is the first component of the Dow Jones Industrial Average to report second quarter results. The aluminum maker says net income for the quarter rose sharply on strong sales of aluminum and chemicals. Good news today for drivers. Gasoline prices continued their decline. According to the Energy Information Administration, the national average retail price of regular has dropped to $1.89.5 a gallon. And GM and Ford escalated their incentive battle today, raising the cash rebates they're offering to buyers of new cars and SUVs. Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
I fell in love with Patrick before I even met him because of his heart.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Everywhere I go in this great country, singles are asking me if there's really such a thing as a soulmate.
She took my breath away. Pictures do not do her justice, and I already knew her heart.
I have found someone to love me unconditionally.
When I hear stories from couples who fell in love on eHarmony, I want to encourage anyone wondering if they have a soulmate to log on to eHarmony.com.
I am more in love with this woman than I ever thought I could love anyone.
This is the best I have felt in my life.
At eHarmony, we've helped thousands of singles find their soulmate, and we want to help you too. Take our personality profile, a $40 value, and we'll give it to you free.
We just have so much to look forward to.
My name is Patrick, and I met my wife Cheryl on eHarmony.com.
My name is Cheryl. I met my husband Patrick on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy couples out there thanks to eHarmony.com.
join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
But that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC.
Hi, it's Jimmy Lakey inviting you to join me Thursday morning on my radio show right here on AM 1150 KNRC. We'll give you all the news, traffic, weather, sports, all the information you need, and we'll keep those phone lines open. Hey, don't forget, Thursday morning, my special guest, Pete Cooper, senatorial candidate, on the show with yours truly, Jimmy Lakey, Thursday morning on AM 1150 KNRC. See you there.
More talk time than any other Denver talk radio station. More talk, less clutter. Now, here's Enid Goldstein.
227 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Bill Thorpe filling in for Enid Goldstein. Enid will return on Monday. We're taking your phone calls. We're just telling you a little bit about government spending and government waste, and I'm just surprised how that nobody's basically called the administration on how they're looking at the idea of tort reform, specifically as far as how liability and medical malpractice basically hurts what we're doing as far as our cost of medicine. They're flat out wrong about it, talking about the frivolous lawsuits and lawsuits running up the cost of medicine. It's 2% of medical expenditures in the whole of this country. You want to control things? There are other ways you can go about doing it. Well, what do you think? 303-382-1150. Let's talk to Bob on his cell phone real quickly. I saw he was dropping on and off during the break, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose you, Bob. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. What's on your mind about government spending?
Well, I agree with you. I think it's too much. I don't think it's this administration's problem. I think it's been a problem since 1964, since Lyndon Johnson.
I would agree with you, absolutely.
And I look at that, and I complain to government. I mean, I get upset with Republicans who can't control their spending and can't control their and I have difficulty with the Democrats.
Me too.
The Republicans, it seems to me, you know, they want to cut taxes, and I think maybe deep down, I don't know whether this is true, are hoping to starve off some of the programs because they just lose their funding. The Democrats are willing to continually tax us and tax us and tax us to grow more and more programs. Either way, either of those solutions don't make sense to me. I think the thing that has to happen is they got to stop building new programs to solve my problem.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing for me, Bob, is the idea that I honestly do not believe that either side of the political spectrum really and honestly, truly, one, wants to cut the size of government, two, wants to actually curtail the spending. Because if you look at it, it's not as if any time that we have a Republican administration, pork legislation goes down, because that's where we really get, in my opinion, a lot of the, quote, government waste, all the writers on the bills and all the other special interests, and the ideas, and we don't allow the president at the time, and we don't allow our representatives and our senators enough credit or enough. We don't expect them to take this type of pork out. The weird thing is because the pork benefits all of us. I mean, you know, if we had Ben Knight, Horace Campbell, we had Allard, we had Udall, we had DeGette, we had Tancredo, and they're bringing programs and spending money back in Colorado to help our economy, we would think, wow, that's great that he was able to build a bridge here or start this program there. But we wouldn't want them to do that in Montana, and that's where we end up with, in my opinion, all of this extra government expenditure, because everybody has to bring something back to their own location for re-election. Doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, you have to be able to come back to this, you know, to your base and say, listen, I brought this. I did this to improve the economy here. I brought you these programs. And the other thing you got to do is put more people in jail, because if more people aren't in jail, then you're not tough on crime. And so we've set up these really weird dichotomies.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's exactly what I see. Although I do, when you look at the federal budget, the amount of money, the real significant portion of the budget is entitlement programs. It's not, infrastructure programs, and it's all of us not willing to turn to the federal government and say, you know what, I can do it myself.
Yeah.
And as long as we continue to give our freedom to the government because we're unwilling to turn to the federal government and say, you know what, I can take care of my own education. I can take care of my own retirement. I can take care of my own rearing of my children. I can take care of my own health care. I can take care of my own. Until we do that, we're just going to continue to grow programs, grow spending, and tax ourselves to death.
Yeah, and you're right. And fortunately, I think that we do it on both sides because I do believe that the Democrats do want to control the population based on government expenditures and those social programs, those entitlements you talked about. But I honestly think on the other end that the Republicans want to control people through social and moral legislation, who you can marry,
totally
who you can love.
And
I
happen to be a Republican,
yeah.
And it is my goal. I'm going to work hard growing up here. I'm a 28-year-old guy.
Yeah.
To get the Republican Party out of the moral back, out of the morality game with the American people. And if they can do that and then own up to their statement that they want to control the size of government,
yeah,
then I think we've got a good party. And the liberal side I have a tough time with because the whole message is vote for me, I'm going to build a program for you.
See, the strange thing is that I fall a little bit to the left side of things, but I don't want to adopt the Democratic Party because I think they're full of crap as well as far as how they go about it. And I think they honestly couldn't find their rear end with a map and someone pointing to it. So I just keep looking at them going, God, you guys are just full of crap. And I look at them and I do the idea that I think that what the Democrats are missing is that they need to approach it, strangely enough, a lot like the Republicans do. They need to approach it and say, listen, one, we shouldn't have, they need to honestly say, we shouldn't have universal programs where everybody gets X, Y, or Z. There are a few exceptions. There could be things like we might be able to do universal health care, but there's some issues that really bother me about that system, the idea of a socialized system. So we'd have to be real careful how we walk down that platform. Social Security is another one that seems good. Another one they should be doing is coming after the idea, and this is weird because we talk about, you know, the GOP wanting smaller programs except in the idea of military. There are very few Republicans that will say that we need to shrink the size of military and curtail military spending, but that in many ways and shapes and forms becomes an entitlement to many defense industry contractors. It's just a matter of
giving
the money.
I was a military guy, and yeah. I will say, you know, that was in the Constitution that the government, you know, defends the liberty of America, the freedom of America with a military.
It oh, sure.
Not in the Constitution that I get my health care taken care of by the federal government. And so I look at those things, I see different things. And, you know, if I could see that the government on one social program could deliver on being an efficacious solution to the problem,
yeah,
then I'd say fine. But you know what? Every year they just tell me they need more money because their program needs just one more dollar to make it work again.
Well, that's where I would go. And
the education system's not doing it. Their social programs aren't doing it. Social Security continues to drive in a direction where it's going to be insoluble, or what they call it, insolvent every year. On and on and on. And I'm like, you know, if you could show me you can make one of these work, it's fine. The only people that seem to make it work consistently year after year is the Vanguard funds and people that actually do this for a living rather than the government who has no incentive whatsoever to deliver properly on this and no profit motive, no chip in the game.
Before we put everything on those investment funds, remember that, you know, the investment funds have come under scrutiny for basically, you know, getting in bed with other groups and then pushing their stocks and their portfolio stuff on you that probably could have been a bad investment. And that was based on profit motive.
I can't believe Social Security.
Well, and that's the fun thing, though. But I know that looking at the idea of Social Security and looking at that and throwing rocks and saying, God, we couldn't fix it. But if I looked at the last 3 years, who's in charge? The GOP is in charge of both houses and the executive branch, and they can't fix it. They haven't had a single fix.
You know what? As a Republican, if they don't start controlling spending,
yeah,
you know, it's pissing me off. I got to be honest, it really is. And I am a Republican.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do when I continue to work on here is to get the spending side to go, but the defense spending is not the big deal. I mean, we're at
well, it is. Is it a little bit, Bob? The defense spending is a little bit of a big deal because you're absolutely right about the idea that it appears in the Constitution and they have to make sure that we are adequately defended. The question would be, where is the line for adequate? And so the idea now would be, do we continue to keep building missile systems and airplane systems and defense systems? And where do we go? Because
liberals right now that said we weren't adequately prepared to deal with 9/11 when
but
we went
different.
Over their military. We're the ones short on flak jackets and short on gear and short on, I mean, they're the liberals are the ones that are right now saying that the military needed to be stronger and better equipped to deal with the problem that we're facing. And
yeah.
So
it's stronger, but here, Bob.
I don't think there was ever a program, ever in the Constitution or originally intended that the federal government's there to save me from myself.
That's an interesting, you know, I'd have to sit there and have to chew on that one for a little bit, but I want to focus back on what you were talking about, the idea that we need to be better defended before we went into 9/11. But look at it, you don't think that we could have taken some of the money that was allocated for some military programs and turned around and forced it into some other areas? Because the number one thing when Bush walked into office, his number one defense platform was missile defense system. And you look at that and think, is that necessarily our number one threat that we are going to be confronting over the next 10 to 15 years? That was their thing, is they wanted to look at Star Wars and missile defense systems. And I look at that and think, that is somewhat of an inadequate way to spend your capital money. That is not a good capital investment.
That is true, and I know that has come up with Bush, that's where some of the money's going.
Yeah.
And, it doesn't make sense to me either. I'm like, who's delivering intercontinental ballistic missiles to the United States right now?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think anybody's got the capability to deliver them. And they won't be delivered. They'll be delivered in a suitcase into New York. Now, but that doesn't mean you reduce. That just means you divert spending to different areas. He's maybe being.
But yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But you were, but earlier, Bob.
I
know, but earlier, Bob, you were arguing that the liberals were saying we weren't adequately prepared, and the only thing I was saying there is that we were spending the money in the wrong areas. When you were giving the GOP the choice as to where we were spending the money, where they were focused wasn't necessarily the best place to put it. And also, I have a hard time finding anyone on the GOP side of the aisle that would ever say that we need to curtail the military spending. And I'm using that on a base level, talking about the idea that the Democrats have a difficulty curtailing Social Security spending, curtailing education spending, but on the other side, the GOP has some problems doing things like curtailing defense spending and other programs. And that's the thing, is I think we get closer to what the two parties really mean, and neither one of them are honestly for smaller government. Both sides of the aisle expand government at every opportunity they can. They also try to expand, I won't say entitlements, but expand tax programs that will favor their bases, and also try to shape the laws to favor their bases. Not about spending more money or getting the government spending under control. And that's the thing that I look at it and think, we're just being both disingenuous, and that's honestly why I don't get invited to any Republican parties, and I don't get invited to any Democrat parties either, because they just stand around and throw those little cocktail weenies at me. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. Thanks a lot, Bob. I appreciate the phone call. It's a lot of fun to talk to you. Sometime, you know, you and I are going to have to sit down. Maybe we can spend a longer time and talk about applications of the Constitution and where we need to spend our money and why. I'd love to sit down and chat with you about that, but we got to do it at a later date. 303-382-1150. I'm Bill Thorpe. We're going to talk maybe a little bit about the economy numbers and take a look and see if we're really doing as well as the Bush administration says we are. There have been some interesting numbers coming out over the last couple of months that say the economy is picking up steam. Let's see how fast it's traveling. We'll get into that after this. I'm Bill Thorpe, filling in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150, KNRC. And now it's time to talk to the man who has all the news that he's made up in the last half hour. He just wanted to make sure he was just as accurate as everybody else out there in the media, and that's Tim McLaughlin. How are you doing today, Tim?
We're always following the facts here, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. The FAX, the facts, the fax machine? Is that the one that you're following?
No.
No.
The FACTS facts.
Oh, those facts.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Those are slippery, though. I try to catch those, and even on this show, I'm not so certain I get them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's always very, you know, because one time you hear something's a fact, and, you know, I remember it was a fact that eggs were going to kill me, and now they're good for me.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, and then at one point I couldn't eat chocolate, and now chocolate's good for me, so I don't
you
know.
You know, when you weren't supposed to eat butter, you were supposed to eat margarine,
exactly.
But now margarine's no good for you.
So what are they telling us? Oh, man. Well, I'm going to go hit my head against the wall for a while. What's going on in news?
Mostly sunny and 88 right now. 84 abandoned Labrador retrievers were found in Larimer County. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Emergency equipment heading toward an accident involving a pedestrian on the ramp from eastbound I-70 to Pecos. That will cause some problems for the ramp, but probably not very much for the freeway itself. Also, also a report of an accident, 56th and Magnolia, involving a motorcycle. 58th and Federal, still another injury accident, this one involving a gravel hauler. One person complaining he has a bloody nose. And we've also got emergency equipment heading toward Colfax and Spruce in East Denver. That's supposed to be an injury accident as well. Fire equipment still trying to fight a grass fire near 72nd and Hudson. That's southeast of the main terminal at DIA. It's not on the DIA property, though. We've reported service of General Motors. Even when traffic is light, anything can happen, so be prepared with OnStar. Advisors are ready to help 24 hours a day, plus OnStar personnel. Personal calling and virtual advisor helps you avoid delays ahead. OnStar, always there, always ready. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The Humane Society in Larimer County has found 84 Labrador retrievers at a home near Burford. Authorities believe the woman who lived in the house was running a puppy mill. Catherine Carloso had rented the home from a long-haul truck driver, but apparently she has now disappeared. This report brought to you by Albertsons. The man who's suspected of assaulting and robbing a woman riding her bike near Mount Evans has been shot by a deputy in Texas. John Morris is in critical condition after the deputy shot him when he refused to drop a shotgun he had pulled from his pickup when the deputy asked him for ID. United Airlines has launched daily nonstop flights between Denver International and Reagan National in Washington, D.C. Flight 484 will take passengers to Washington in the middle of the day, with Flight 583 bringing passengers to the Mile High City each evening. Try Albertson's new Steakhouse Choice Premium Angus Beef. So tender and juicy, you're going to love it. Sold exclusively at Albertson's, helping make your life easier. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:42.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and allow me to introduce you to the number one public golf course in Colorado, as rated by golfers and peers alike. Joining me now to talk about the Ridge at Castle Pines North is manager Daryl Fuston.
Thanks, Doug. You are right. The Ridge at Castle Pines North is consistently rated as the number one public course in Colorado. We have become the venue of choice for corporate and charity events. We are committed to providing the best golfing experience in Colorado.
It is a perfect place for corporate outings and for businessmen and women to choose to entertain their clients. When you want to take that prospective client or client to the perfect course, this is it.
And with our great restaurant, spectacular front range views, along with Troon Golf's Country Club for a Day philosophy, we are the perfect place to bring your clients and to set up corporate golf events.
And you know, we haven't even talked about the course. Once you play the beautiful 18 holes at the Ridge at Castle Pines North, you are sure to come back. Set up a tee time or call for info about your corporate or charity event. 303-688-4301. That's 303-688-4301. The Ridge at Castle Pines, your country club for a day.
Mention you heard this ad on KNRC and receive an additional 20% off.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Mostly sunny skies through the rest of the afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy later on. Some isolated thunderstorms possible this evening. It'll be partly cloudy after midnight. Low around 60 tonight. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a high near 80, or near 90 rather. Mostly sunny right now and 89 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Dave Tewksbury, and since 1996, our store, Tewksbury & Company, has been known as downtown Denver's lifestyle store. We specialize in the most sought-after and highly rated cigars with over 300 selections in our spacious walk-in humidor. But many of our customers know us as the store for tasting and purchase of Colorado's award-winning wines 7 days a week. Yeah, you heard me right. We sell wines on Sunday, too. In fact, we received Westward's Best of Denver Award for the best place to buy wines on a Sunday. In addition, for those of you who are outdoor enthusiasts, we're the only store to offer fly fishing supplies and licensed fly fishing guide service in downtown Denver. Our 5 employees are knowledgeable and congenial. It'll help you to find that right cigar or bottle of Colorado wine. Now, we're located in Ryder Square, just between the 16th Street Mall and Larimer Square, so stop by and give us a call at 303-825-1880 or visit us on the web at TewksburyCompany.com. At Tewksbury & Company, we say if you love cigars, wines, or fly fishing, we talk your language.
You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We've got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
How does he stack up against Dick Cheney?
Dick Cheney can be president. Next.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
George Bush talking about John Edwards. Ah, saying that John Edwards couldn't be president. Why? Did he not have enough experience? I'm sorry. How much experience did George W. Bush have before he became the leader of the free world? Did he have any experience leading the country at all? Any? Ah, yes, that's right. I remember in the 2000 election, it was about a fresh change, about bringing new people to power, and experience wasn't as important. That's why they brought on Dick Cheney. But now experience is important. 4 years later, I get it. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I must have missed a meeting somewhere. I'm a memo or something, a focus group. I don't know how, where I could have missed that. I don't know how that happened. I don't know if you caught the latest news. Enron head honcho Ken Lay will probably be spending some time in the Crossbar Hotel, even though it'll only be an hour or so until he bails out, because a grand jury today delivered a sealed indictment in court. It'll be unsealed tomorrow, and looks like 16 of the 12 voting of the 12 or at least 16 members were present, and they know 12 voted for the indictment, so that's a pretty good number so far. And the interesting thing, though, is that, of course, we talk about what happened with then-CEO Jeff Skilling, and also, oh, the chief accounting officer, Rick something or another, Causey or something like that. They've been charged with insider trading, security fraud, wire fraud, conspiracy, lying on Enron financial statements, and accused of manipulating earnings reports. And, of course, we also have now recorded conversations of people inside of Enron talking about direct manipulation of the energy market, especially during the crisis in California, that Enron was directly manipulating how the energy was going to be traded and the price that people were going to have to pay for it. Now, let's just see. If this would have happened, say, 1997, and we had a very, very good buddy of the sitting president, so good that he actually loaned his private jet to the then-sitting president to travel him around for campaign stops. And then this buddy was found to probably be guilty of fraud, or at least be accused of fraud, probably insider trading, security fraud, wires fraud, conspiracy, manipulation of energy markets. Can you say special prosecutor? Ah, yes, but now we are in a new world, aren't we? Yes, we would have had a special prosecutor at the drop of a hat inside of if Clinton was president. And I'm not always a huge Bill Clinton fan. But I just think it's interesting how, you know, we always talk about what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and it not always works that way. So it's kind of interesting when I see that coming. It's about damn time that Ken Lay would have to face some sort of music on this one. So we'll see what's happening. 303-382-1150 is the phone number. I saw that I had Bob on a cell phone, and yeah, I ran my mouth a little bit much there about Enron, and he dropped off. If you want to give me a call back, we can talk again, Bob. We can talk about bias in the media and the like. And I'm showing a little bit of bias in the media, and well, there's also bias on Pennsylvania Avenue. President Bush has been claiming recently the economy is vital and growing. But then I read a story inside of the Baltimore Sun that says, quote, America's employment engine sputtered last month and was producing half as many new jobs as expected. The unemployment rate did remain at 5.6%, with a high number of people having stopped looking for work. And there are numbers that do actually support that. Because economy.com, what's the gentleman's name? Zandi something. Mark Zandi, I think it is, at economy.com, pointed out that statistics are showing that if you're unemployed, you're pretty much stuck right now. The duration of unemployment is about as high as it ever had been. In June, the average was 19.9 weeks being unemployed. That's about the highest it's ever been inside of this country right now. And economy.com's chief economist, Mr. Zandi, also said the new jobs reports basically shows that President Bush can write off absolutely any hope of restoring the 1.8 million private sector jobs lost during his term. Now, economy.com, that's not a liberal bastion of thought. Paul Krugman is actually saying that this number, as far as the job growth, is barely enough to keep up with the growing working-age population. The key there is that you add about 110,000 to 150,000 working-age people into the economy each and every month. In order to sustain current employment levels, you need to add 110,000 to 150,000 jobs each month. Again, that's a statistical average over the course of 12 months, but basically those are the number of people that become of working age and start to enter the market and need a job. If you do not produce that number of jobs, you end up with a job deficit, and that's where we're at. In fact, the Labor Department has gone on and to revise the April and May job figures to show about 35,000 fewer jobs were created than originally reported. Remember when some of those figures were revised up, how quickly everybody ran out there and said, look, they're up, they're up, they're up. Did they run out there just as quickly to go, oop, they're down, we got to revise them back down 35,000.
In fact, the weird thing is that even the idea when the president is claiming that we're having steady and consistent growth after the current number of economic figures, and he says, quote, this means that all citizens will be able to find a job. That's not what Bloomberg News is reporting. Bloomberg News? Again, not a liberal mouthpiece. But Bloomberg News is reporting that we have record high corporate profits, but they are, quote, not trickling down to U.S. workers in the form of pay increases. The new Labor Department report is showing very slight gain in actual earnings in some areas. And over the last month, they declined by about 0.5%. And over the last year, wages are only up 2.2%. Inflation is on average 3-4% over the course of a year. So what you're able to buy at this point this year is less than what you were able to purchase last year. Now, there's a gentleman at Cato Institute who actually served as the chairman of President Reagan's Council of Economic Advisors. Yes, President Reagan's Council of Economic Advisors. And he says, quote, I do not see any substantial increase in average real wages for some time. The chief economic analyst for Morgan Stanley and Company actually says that stagnating wages are far short of the 10% gains that occurred in the first 29 months of the preceding six cyclical recoveries. Now, that's important because what that means is that normally when we come out of a recession and we go into recovery, the wages jump. We get those gains, they get those losses back. We're able to now continue to buy and hopefully buy more than we were able to. But we're not getting that this time around in this recovery. This economy is not allowing us to do that. Some of that can be laid at the feet of George W. Bush. Some of it cannot. But the weird thing is that this chief economist for Morgan Stanley says this is translating into a shortfall of $280 billion missing dollars in real personal income. That at the end of this, when we finally climbed out of this recovery, you and I are going to be making as a country $280 billion less than what we normally make at the end of an economic recession. Take-home pay, he says, is, as a share of the economy, is at its lowest level since the government started keeping track in 1929. Take-home pay, never been a lower share of the economy since 1929. Doesn't seem to me to be a booming economy. Sure, there are numbers that are up. There are things that should be encouraging. But it shows absolutely nothing for me to believe that this is a booming economy, that we have now turned the corner and that we are now rolling. In fact, we even look at how we are being squeezed at home. Look at your paycheck. We talked about it earlier as far as the price of health care. Has your health care insurance premiums gone up in the last 12 to 24 months? President Bush is telling you that it's because of the frivolous lawsuits, all the liability and malpractice lawsuits, when his own Congressional Budget Office says that less than 2% of the money spent on healthcare in this country is due to liability and malpractice lawsuits. The president of Aetna, one of the nation's biggest healthcare insurers, said, quote, it is fair to say right now the jobs being created in this economy are not the jobs that come with benefits. The Toledo Blade actually did a real interesting investigative report that I found today. They found the average American family with a median household income of $42,000 right now. So median household income, average family, $42,000. What has happened with their health care insurance premiums over the previous 4 years? Well, since the year 2000, when the Bush administration took over, and again, not laying everything at their feet, but they haven't helped anything at all, that family of four in the year 2000 was paying $6,348 a year for health insurance premiums. In 2004, they're paying $9,086, an increase of nearly $3,000. And the problem is, wages haven't kept up. We're losing ground. All of the claims about tax cuts and economic stimulus packages have not borne out. There is very little in this economy that we can turn around and say that the Bush plan has helped us get out of it. No, the president can't totally shape the economy, but he can help give it a direction. And the direction we've received from Pennsylvania Avenue is flat out wrong. 2:55 here on AM 1150 KNRC. I'll take your phone calls in the economy if you want to squeeze in here at the tail end of the hour. 303-382-1150. I'm in for Enid Goldstein. My name's Bill Thorpe, and I'm back after this on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your free AM 1150 KNRC coffee mug by going to our website, KNRCRadio.com. KNRCRadio.com. And then unlimited free refills at Sugar Beet Cafe with your mug. Just another way to say thanks for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
At all John Elway showrooms, get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. No worries at all with a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest.
If you're a guy that needs to lose weight but doesn't want to eat like a sissy, try Advanced Z-Carb. Z-Carb blocks the fat-causing carbs from the foods you love, like pizza, french fries, and beer, allowing you to lose weight fast. Listen to these Z-Carb users.
Before Z-Carb, 6 weeks ago I had a gut, but now look, no gut. I lost 25 pounds.
Atkins, Z-Carb helped me drop 4 belt notches in 3 weeks.
No starving, no killer workouts. I lost 30 pounds.
Forget the gimmicks and starvation diets. Z-Carb is an advanced doctor-recommended formula that uses natural ingredients to help you lose weight fast. Best of all, Z-Carb comes with a money-back guarantee.
Call now to try Advanced Z-Carb, risk-free for 30 days at 888-201-1540. Ask how to receive a free supply with your purchase at 888-201-1540. Get your money back if you don't see dramatic results. Call 888-201-1540. That's 888-201-1540.
The Arvada Center presents Das Barbecue, a saucy musical comedy on the range, June 29th to July 25th in the Indoor Theater. This witty tale of love and greed follows mismatched lovers and generations of feuding families on a quest for a magical ring in the land of Texas. 5 actors play over 30 outrageous characters, from cowboys and river maidens to dwarves and spinster triplets. The music is Texas-flavored Broadway and Western swing, with fun songs like Hog Tie Your Man and Making Guacamole. So get your tickets today and sit yourself down and enjoy some barbecue. Call 720-898-7200. That's 720-898-7200. Or go online to ArvadaCenter.com. That's ArvadaCenter.com. Das Barbecue is presented in partnership with Commercial Federal Bank. Located just 2.5 miles north of I-70 on Wadsworth, the Arvada Center is closer than you think.
Join the National Multiple Sclerosis Society for the 19th annual Great West MS 150 Bike Tour and get ready to rock the rampart. The two-day 150-mile adventure begins on Saturday, July 10th at Conifer and traverses the rampart range through Buffalo Creek, Deckers, and Woodland Park. Last year, more than 1,900 participants raised $1.7 million to end the devastating effects of MS. To learn more or join this year's MS 150 Bike Tour, visit www.fightmscolorado.org.
Don't sell or trade your car. Donate it to Heritage for the Blind for a tax deduction. Call 1-800-2-DONATE. Remember, that's 1-800-2-DONATE.
I really don't want to give my name. I'm a regional manager. I do love that Enid Goldstein. A mission to Mars, Mr. Bush? If there's any extra money in the budget, I think we should create a U.S. grant for hotness myself.
Enid Goldstein, weekday afternoons from noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Bill Thorpe in for the final minute of the Enid Goldstein Show. I'm going to jump to Roger in Highlands Ranch. Roger, we got about a minute left, so let's see if we can do this quickly. What's on your mind?
Well, two things, Bill. All these wonderful new jobs that the administration's crowing about.
Yeah.
Heard something like last week said average salary is about $9,000 less than the jobs that were lost. And just read another thing that healthcare executives are saying, you know what, all these new jobs, we're not seeing new members in our healthcare plans.
Yep, because they can't afford to actually purchase into the system. That's the problem with it. That's exactly what the chief of Aetna is saying, that these jobs are not coming with benefits right now. And what you're paying for healthcare is going up. It's gone up about $3,000 since the year 2000. Woohoo! Love those tax cuts, huh? Yeah! I'm Bill Thorpe, in for Enid Goldstein. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Carl Rochelle of the White House. Another shoe has dropped in the Enron collapse scandal.
CNBC reports that former Chairman Ken Lay has been indicted in Houston. The report goes on to say the indictment has been sealed. It will be unsealed tomorrow. The two men on the Democratic presidential ticket have made their first road trip together. John Kerry and John Edwards, with their families in tow, shared the microphone in Pennsylvania and Ohio. President Bush is on the road again, raising money and pushing stalled judicial nominees. Bush blasted Senate Democrats for playing politics by blocking several of his federal court nominees. Meantime, the president, who was in North Carolina, was asked how Democratic vice presidential candidate John Edwards matches up against Vice President Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney can be president.
Al Jazeera is reporting an Iraqi group has captured a Filipino and has threatened to kill him unless Manila withdraws its forces within 72 hours. The group claimed it has already killed an Iraqi security guard accompanying the man. On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 21 points on the day, NASDAQ up over 2 1/3. I'm Carl Rochelle, NBC News Radio.
You've been waiting for a sign. It's the banner in your Lincoln Mercury dealer's window, inviting you in right now for the best deals of the year during the one and only clearance sales event at your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Come in now for low financing or big cash back on top of your dealer's best model year-end price.